Yeah, things are starting already about that. The joy, the excitement of recording and having it not come out. So things are changing a little bit from the last time that we were on our way to the CGS event. Last time we were taking it by car, by van, by really, really crazy insanity. This time we're a little more laid back, a little bit more calm, a little bit more collective. Except for Raph, he looks like a crack patient who was going without his crack for the last couple days, but that's not much of a change. We are on New Jersey Transit right now, going to Trenton, going to transfer over to the SEPTA, go into Philly, where we will meet Big Jim to head on over to Reading. And, well, Raph, how you feeling right now?
This show is brought to you by Heroes Corner. You can go on our website, heroescorner.com, and the Bat Radio is evidence of my, I don't know, I've run out of material. Wow, look at that. I've actually run out of material. Good stuff.
It took him exactly 7.5 minutes to run out of material. This is going to be a fun weekend.
That's because we don't have the Prudential Center to work off of and the fact that its parents are dead.
Well, right now, actually, we're passing a large amount of random houses. And, oh, there's a church. There's a church. Okay, so we got a nice view out the New Jersey Transit window here, which, you know, not nearly as exciting as the large amount of trees we'd be passing if we were going to Philly by van, though. So what are you going to do?
It's what's funny is that Ian mentions the church before I do.
Why is that?
Well, because I was raised Roman Catholic, and you're the Jewish guy here. You think my church sense would tingle? It didn't.
Well, actually, funny story. The first temple that I went to was actually inside of a church. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, they rented space from a church, so they were there like Saturdays, and the church was there every other day.
We don't like Jesus, but we'll use your space.
I think my brain just had a hemorrhage thanks to you just now, dude.
Good stuff.
All right, what are you looking forward to this weekend? And actually, before I even make that comment, the reason that we're not going by van right now is because, Juan's mother is in the hospital right now. Hopefully she's doing better by the time that this comes out. But just wanted to, you know, send out best wishes to Juan and his family. Hopefully things are going well. And I totally blame Raph for this happening, for saying my parents are dead one too many times.
It's true, though. Batman's parents are dead.
So, okay. He's trying his hardest to go around his promise not to say the phrase. Like, he's going to just say, like, everybody else's parents are dead right now, so as opposed to his. Because he doesn't want, you know, bad wishes to occur to his, right?
Did you read Superman Batman number 51?
I don't read Superman Batman, so no, I didn't.
There are these kid versions of Superman and Batman. They show up, and, like, they encounter our Superman and Batman, our quote-unquote Superman and Batman. And then, like, they fight the Superman Batman, our Superman Batman had to fight the kid JLA, and then they find out the origin stories. So Kid Batman's parents were pushed at a very young age, and Kid Batman's parents are, like, 5 years old, too, except with a mustache and all that. And so Kid Batman promised that no one would ever be bullied again, so that's why he became Batman.
You know, I read this story. It was called The X-Babies.
And you also read the JL Ape stuff, and now there's Marvel Apes.
And there's Tiny Titans, and now there's, even before Tiny Titans, there was that Mini Marvel, so, yeah.
Watchmen babies, they'll make dreams come true.
They do. They do actually make your dreams come true, and then Alan Moore tracks you down to your house and kills everyone in your family.
If Rorschach doesn't break your knees. Because that's what he does. Because that's what he does, because he's Rorschach.
Oh, dear Lord, he's even doing variations of that now. It's going to be a really annoying weekend. Okay, so it's just going to be me and Raph in a hotel room. No hanky-panky. I'm saying that out right now. I don't care. If I wake up with you in my bed, I'm going to kick your ass.
Even if my bed is dead?
Even if your bed is dead, yes.
Fair enough.
All right, what are you looking forward to most this weekend?
The amount of people that are going to want to kick my ass on Sunday.
So me plus about, like, half the people that are there?
Let's say there's 6,000 people there. I would say a good 5,832 people.
I don't know if there's going to be 6,000 people there, man. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, this is the first time they're doing the whole thing. I mean, I'd be happy if there were at least 1,000, but I don't know if there's going to be 6,000.
It's called grossly exaggerating.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, some people count as two. You know, like Sean and Jim.
Sean and Jim. I'm actually looking forward to our 15-hour recording with them talking about the first hour of Super Show. We're going to go second by second, minute by minute, and Sean is going to give kudos to, I bet any money, 8:32 in the morning and 56 seconds is going to get Sean's kudos. And 9:36 in the morning and 15 seconds is going to get the elbows from Jim.
I'm surprised they're not going by millisecond.
We don't have enough time to do that. The Super Show would have come and gone 13 times before we finished.
But there's always time for comics.
And that wraps it up. The email address for comics.
No. A little bit too early. All right. Talk a little bit about the comic that I just handed you. You know, the one that you accidentally handed me at Midtown last week. And I'm like, hey, Raph, you got any of the John Romita Jr. Covers of Amazing Spider-Man, with New Ways to Die, Part 2 left? Oh, yeah, sure. Let me get it. Okay, here, man. Thanks a lot. Don't bother to look at it like a dumbass. And then, you know, I go and bring it home, and I'm like, oh, Secret Invasion, Brand New Day, which I already ordered from Heroes Corner. That's right, heroescorner.com for all your comic book needs. This month's promo code is CTROCKS. That's CTROCKS. So make sure to use that as your promo code. And this month's specials, I'm doing this totally off the top of my head, so hopefully I get the specials right. Just Society of America. I forget which issue is coming out, but that one's 50% off. Let's see, what else we got? We got that Daredevil Captain America special that's coming out from the foreign guys. That's 50% off. And we've got Umbrella Academy for 75% off, 75 cents. And their special... Raph's giving me, like, pointers here. It's like I've got the referee.
I'm your producer. You got 5 more minutes for the promos.
Oh, okay, cool. That works. Plus, their September special was as follows. They got a back-to-school special, so a whole bunch of kids' comics are 50% off. So you've got stuff like Tiny Titans, Bone Volume 1, trade paperback, and a whole bunch of other stuff for 50% off. So definitely go and check out heroescorner.com for all of your comic book needs. And I just got the promo in before the episode even frickin' starts. Suck on that, bitches.
Tastes like candy.
So, let's go back to what I was actually asking you. What'd you think of the Secret Invasion Brand New Day, which you had to read because I handed it to you?
Well, Spider-Man's parents are dead. Jackpot's parents might be dead.
All right, let's actually get... Okay, now, first off, do you know how many people were pissed off at you after listening to that CGS Super Show or even the MegaCon one where it's like, so, Raph, your thoughts? My parents are dead. Okay, great, Raph. Okay, there we go. Hey, you're not even tired yet, and here you are already slipping into wrath mode. So for the love of God and all that is holy, talk like a normal person.
And we're back. So we were talking about Amazing Spider-Man Brand New Day, the Secret Invasion tie-in. It's a lot of setup. There's no Spider-Man in it. It's Jackpot, Robbie Robertson, Dexter Bennett. A little bit of Betty Brant, a little bit of Harry Osborn, a little bit of what's-her-face, Harry Osborn's really hot girlfriend that he's going to dump anyway when he becomes the new Goblin. It was really good, but it's, again, it's set up. I got a little bit more about the characters, but you could just slow. Really, I think it could have been a one-shot. You could have done that really in just, like, 10 pages. I mean, if this was 60s Marvel, the entire issue would have been, like, 2 panels.
Yeah, I understand that entirely. They're definitely writing for the miniseries here. They're like, okay, hey, this is going to be a 3-issue miniseries, so we don't have to actually tell you anything important until issue 2.
Excelsior.
True Believers? In fact, for that matter, are you reading the True Believers miniseries?
I read it. I flipped through it at break once. I didn't really get the gist of it, but it looked really good.
Yeah, issue 1 was good. Issue 2 I haven't had a chance to read yet, but... definitely give it a chance. I mean, obviously, you've been switching more over to trades lately for the sake of your wallet, but... But definitely be worth picking up in trade. I'm saying definitely way too much. Definitely.
Kudos to your definitely.
And on that note, all right, so more from us to come, obviously, as the time goes on. I'll end it off with one more thing. So you're getting sketches from everyone, including the Deemer's dogs, I assume?
$310 so far.
Good night, everybody. What the hell, dude? $310? You don't even own $310 with it.
I'm getting a $600 paycheck tomorrow.
And you're spending more than half of it on comic books.
My bank account is dead.
Yes, it is. All right, we'll be back from probably from the car for all I know, but Super Show is here to come. This is episode 72 of Comic Timing. And everybody, hang on. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's theoretically not true. Because... The bumps are all theoretical. I mean, we haven't experienced a bump yet, so maybe we'll have a bump or two in the car. But hopefully it won't, because Philadelphia takes care of its roads, and there won't be too many...
This guy doesn't know the meaning of the word outro. You know, I'm about to press the end record button, and he starts going, well, you know, the bumpy roads are actually, you know, sort of theoretical. I mean, we don't really know how it's going to go. Hey, boo-boo, hey, boo-boo.
I went to the Raging Bullet School of Podcasting.
Now I'm outroing us. Bye, you bitches. See you in about 5 seconds your time, and I'm probably going to play music after this. How about that? Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
The lounge version. Hey, everybody. Hey, make sure to tip your waitress. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bye.
Comic Timing is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast
Network, bitch.
Welcome to episode 72 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as usually Rick Cassina, but he's in Florida right now on a rotating panel of guests. Out of that Comic Timing, fuck that shit. We're live in the room at Super Show. Everybody clap. Come on, what the hell? What the hell, man? Yeah. Hopefully we didn't just wake up Dave with the clapping, but these are very thin walls. What are we going to do? We are joined by the a little more competent than last year, Raf Suhu. What's going on, Raf?
My parents are bred.
Your parents are bred. All right, now, first off, you're going to make a promise to me right here and now, okay? First off, stop laughing. Do it. You're going to make a promise to me right now, okay? No variation of parents are dead the entire fucking time. You hear me?
My parents are
bred. Also joined for the second time. Why are you only annual? Seriously.
I don't know.
We seriously need to change this, Chad.
Well, let me know.
All right, fine. Reintroduce yourself to the crowd.
Chad Burdett, unknown fanboy on the board when I find the time to post.
When you find the time to post, exactly. And the new victims of Comic Timing, introduce yourselves.
Bill English, brand new, first time to the con.
Yay.
And Steve Katz, I post his real gone on the forums. I was at 300 last year, and I'm here again.
Yay! Do you have what's your forum name, if you have it?
Bill.
Oh, okay, cool. Wow.
Real gone, the username is like my brain.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, you're not the only person who only posts for sketches, I'm sure, so no worries about that. All right, so we are indeed here at the Super Show, and for that matter, we had a bunch of other stuff. As you heard in the original intro to this, Raf and I had a nice fun time getting here by train, which was certainly a big change from last year when we had the insanity in the car. So it was a little more peaceful. It was a little more like Smooth Jazz 101, as we stated, right?
The monkeys picked the lice out of my hair. It was really good.
And just to remind people out here, when you do have something to say, make sure to say it in the microphone because we ain't going to fucking hear you otherwise, all right? But
Gone called me a son of a bitch.
Yeah. Exactly.
I agreed
profusely as well. So
agree profusely.
Yeah.
What a word, profusely. That's good.
Thank you very much.
English degree. Ha!
All right. But anyway, before we get into the main episode here, I'm going to cut here for all the interviews that were conducted at the con. We got a bunch of interviews with a bunch of creators, and you will hear them right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed Friday here. We are in Reading, Pennsylvania. I am tired. I have been very tired ever since Thursday. But the good news is, the thing that's making me tired is in the other room sleeping, so Raf is okay. I'm joined here by a man whose accent is so much cooler than mine. It will always be cooler than mine. You know him as Gargoyle on the forums. His name is Dave in real life. He's got a podcast too, doesn't he?
I have indeed. I have a podcast called Waiting for the Trade, which is also hosted at thecomicforums.com, where we talk about waiting for the trade.
It's a very literal title, right?
Yeah, it does what it says on the tin.
See, for me, Comic Timing, there's no time involved, and we're not funny, so I don't really know what the hell I came up with there.
Yeah, I think I'd banged on about woofting for so long that I wanted to come out as a woofter. And I'm laying claim to that phrase. I'm going to make people proud to be woofters.
Okay, you need to make up T-shirts, okay? Yeah.
You know the I'm with or I trust banners? I want, you know, I'm a woofter. I want people to say it loud, say it proud. I wait for the trade.
See, for me, it's like, what can I say? I'm a cooter, you know, like.
Yes.
It's better than being a Geeks Uniter.
Yeah.
This is why I do all my recording while Raph's asleep, so I can't actually say anything.
You should just record Raph while he's asleep.
No, see, that's what Sean and Jim usually end up doing. Sean and Jim from Raging Bullets. Sean usually, whenever Jim is either in the bathroom or asleep, he'll all of a sudden put on his recorder and then go, "Jim! Jim!" He put it up to the bathroom.
No. No, we have certain rules. I've actually sent my co-host, which is my wife, Ange, I've sent her to go and get dressed before we record. Because it's not, you have to be wearing trousers whilst, you know, this stuff, you wouldn't get, on the BBC, you wouldn't get them wearing dressing gowns and, you know, slippers.
Now, you don't know that.
Well, I'm sure some of the best podcasts ever recorded were done so naked, but I have standards.
Now, see, I'm not even going to comment on that, even though I do my best podcasting naked. I'm just not going to comment on that.
Do you have a special podcasting thong?
I can safely say, without a shadow of a doubt, I have never in my life worn a thong. Nothing is ever going in my outhole.
It's a one-way street, yeah.
A lot of one-way streets here in Pennsylvania, too.
Oh, very, very slick segue there.
Zing, zing. Well, hey, you been enjoying your couple days here in Reading?
Yeah, absolutely. First time in Pennsylvania. So far, it's been an experience. Not a bad one, just a kind of a RAF experience.
Okay, now, anybody who listens to Comic Timing knows that he gets stuck. You know, like he's like one of those CDs with a little scratch on it. It's like you hear over and over, baby, 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 baby. Yeah, he's gotten stuck in like 17 phrases since we've come here, and there is no end in sight.
Primarily, I am Batman.
You know, did you know that he's Batman?
I had heard that his parents were dead. He's spoken at length about his visits to Crime Alley, and yeah.
Even when we're visiting like random like tech stores, you know, we're in like Best Buy, we're in Target, we're in Circuit City. He's just all of a sudden like going through the aisles. Even it's like, you know, my parents used to buy that until they died.
The funniest one was in the lift this morning, where there's the three of us and one guy who's obviously not here for the super show, and he's wondering why Raph seems so cheerful about the fact that his parents were murdered in an alley.
Well, my favorite part is the guy looked like a surfer dude, and I'm wondering, where the hell is the water? We're in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, we did pass on the way to the Shady Maple this morning. We passed the jet ski store.
That is true. That is true.
Amish country.
Well, those Amish people really need jet skis to get around it, because, I mean, the horse and buggy can only go so far.
No buttons on the jet skis, though.
Okay, that's cool. So Shady Maple, okay? You yourself have stated previously, you know, just talking to me randomly, that you don't really get breakfast like that, buffet like that, in where you're from. So, the Shady Maple experience, did your ass get mapled?
My ass was well and truly mapled, and it was a shady experience. That's quite some amount of food and types of food to be available.
Now, you've had more pumpkin in the last day than you've had in the last 1,740 hours and years, I assume.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, that's pumpkin, not pumping.
Okay, good. Pumpkin.
I've received lots of pumping in the last... Just in case my wife ever hears this, I've had pumpkin, including pumpkin coffee, courtesy of your selection this morning, which was a very surreal experience.
And speaking of pumpkin, we also had whoopie pie.
Oh, it's all about the whoopie. Which, I'll be honest, just kind of tasted like two bits of sponge and some cream.
Yes, 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 yes. But they call it whoopie pie, and I believe that just makes it.
It's the specific configuration of chocolate sponge and cream that makes it whoopie pies.
It's great. I've been giving this guy new experiences. Like, we go to the supermarket. Shady Maple is a supermarket also. And there I am. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Tropicana lemonade. That's great. And he's like, lemonade? You guys actually have lemonade in the supermarkets here? What?
Well, yeah, we have lemonade that's just used as a mixer, like soda water. So we certainly don't, or I haven't seen lemonade like that, Tropicana stuff. And it was very nice. That was one of the good new experiences.
Now, what were some of the bad new experiences?
We've already covered Raph.
Oh, sorry. Okay. We went to Golden Eagle earlier. Now, I this is a different experience for me because up until now, Golden Eagle has been the spot. This is the first time we're having it at the convention center. Golden Eagle, you know, obviously we know is like the CGS spot, basically. So we were expecting it a lot. We got great 50% off Tura, everything, basically, in the store. Obviously, Lem is not there anymore. So, you know, I send yet again well wishes to his family and all that. But Golden Eagle, the experience, as good as you were expecting?
Very different. First US comic shop that I've been into. it's about the same size as Forbidden Planet in Bristol, which is a megastore, but the mix of stuff is completely different. So in comic shops in the UK, back issue bins, forget about it. You just hardly ever see them. They may have two or three long boxes out, and they had a few dozen there. Although I was actually surprised that the Forbidden Planet, which is our local comic shop, has more trades than they do. But they really do pile them high. They don't present them very nicely. But yeah, it seems a nice store. Obviously, we don't have the whole cards, baseball cards and stuff thing, which seems to take up quite a bit of space.
Yeah, I see. There's really no use for you guys to have football cards, right?
Well, we do stickers are more of the thing. Collectible sticker albums. Every boy in England will have had a Panini sticker album, trying to collect the various teams of the World Cup or the Euros or something like that.
See, to me, a Panini is a press sandwich.
Yeah, we also have Paninis as press sandwich. We also have them as, I believe, Europe's largest book publisher.
Ooh, okay.
We publish all the Marvel UK stuff.
Excellent. But so going there today, I think I probably spent more money there than I've ever spent before. But the trades thing that you mentioned, they've actually gotten better over the past couple of years, because the first time I went there, they maybe had like six trades on the wall, and that was really it. So they're expanding themselves a little bit more. Plus, I've been to Forbidden Planet in New York, so I know exactly what you're talking about with Forbidden Planet, because they have no more than the past like 3 months worth of back issues, and then I don't know where the hell they put them.
And they, Forbidden Planet, display all of their, or pretty much all of their trades spine on, so they can just get the maximum volume in their shelf space. So it's not as nice looking, as not as nice an experience to browse around.
So did it take all the back issues and put them in like the warehouse from Indiana Jones, and like do they sit there like forever? Because I mean, what the hell do they do with all these extra issues?
I think they just store them up and then flog them cheap, UK cheap, not there's no quarter cent bins in the UK or 50 cent bins. You don't get comics that cheap.
You don't have sense.
It would make no sense. Boom tish. I've yet to see. They've sold off a load of old trades recently. So, when the Starman omnibus or series of omnibuses were announced, all of a sudden their Starman trades were on sale.
Is it omnibuy?
Omnibus or omnibis?
Omnibuses. I'm going to go with that.
So they've done those, but I don't know what they do with all their old issues. But they sell way more toys. I mean, I was quite impressed by the number of different statuettes they had at Golden Eagle, particularly some of the larger ones like that Marvel Namor one they had. But Forbidden Planet is way more non-comic stuff. Loads of toys. It doesn't feel like a comic shop as such. Whereas Golden Eagle definitely felt like a comic shop. I was very restrained today, but that's because I'm just going to spunk all of my cash tomorrow. I'm going to be quite obscene with my spending, I'm sure. And sorry, if my wife is listening, I mean that I will be frugal and very fiscally responsible if I'm copying my John McCain adverts properly.
Yeah, see, that's another thing you get here. Commercials.
Yeah, lots of commercials, which is why the TV has largely been switched off since I've been here. Because between listening to each political party slagging off the other, and then adverts for hemorrhoid creams, that's fulfilled all of my televisual needs for the weekend.
Barack Obama is an elitist. I'm sorry, sir. How many houses do you have? I'm not sure.
I love the I'm Barack Obama and I authorized this advert. Was that because people, they were faking them for the... I'm John McCain and I'm a douche.
See, before this, there'd be a guy who came on with like it looked like Barack Obama, only had a really like thin mustache. You know, so sort of like the Mirror Universe things that I had to make sure that they were talking about the right one.
Evil version.
Right, exactly. Yeah, sure. And that, we don't want that guy to take over the U.S. That would be bad.
I don't know, an outwardly evil leader. At least it'd make a change from previous ones.
Plus, I'm also thinking I need to be slightly hoarse more often, because I think my voice is deeper and more smooth jazz when this happens. Like, I can imagine myself like going like, Luke, I am your father.
It's Late Night Love with Ian Levenstein and Dave Williams.
Talking smooth. Smooth Jazz here on 104.7 FM. Coming up soon, some jazz.
They did have some easy listening on in Golden Eagle earlier on, which was kind of... I don't associate easy listening with comics. Yeah. Normally the geeks are controlling the stereo when you go into a comic shop. And it's like, you know, the theme from Once More With Feeling or Dr. Horribles or something like that, rather than, you know, a bit of smooth jazz, easy blues.
Well, actually, there's a place in Manhattan called Cosmic Comics where most of the time I walk in there and they're either like old television themes, like once I swear to God I heard like Wonder Woman, like going on in the background. Sometimes there will actually be old 1960s Marvel theme songs playing in the background. So you'll hear like the Incredible Hulk theme out of nowhere.
And the whole when Captain America throws his mighty shield. Yeah.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, he gets hit in the head and dies at the end.
Spoilers!
Oh, no! What are we going to do? So I guess we'll wrap this up with, what are you reading lately? What are you enjoying?
Last thing I read, and it's not a trade, so I almost got thrown out of the Woofter Club for it, was Captain Britain and MI-13, which I absolutely love, by Paul Cornell and Leonard Kirk. Fantastic book. I'd love to think that it will run and run and run, but I have a horrible feeling it will run, then stumble, then fall. And I'm sure Paul Cornell will be put onto something more interesting, because he's the cheap man's less egotistical Mark Miller.
That is a quote for the ages right there.
Paul quote on the back of his next book.
I am the less egotistical, more talented Mark Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't say more talented.
I know, but I'm putting words in your mouth because sometimes things can be taken the wrong way.
I have nothing against Mr. Miller's talent, but he does... Humility is not amongst his many skills.
Yes. Plus, I love the fact that even Joe Quesada calls him Millar.
Yeah, no matter how many times people are taught... No, it really is Miller. It's an A, but you pronounce it like an E. Yes, English is a confusing language.
I decided once that I was just going to call him Mylar from now on.
Then you'd have Brian Deemer getting very overexcited whenever he was mentioned.
Mylar, baby! Mylar! Oh, my God. All right, you want to give the website out there for everybody?
It's wftt.libsyn.com, or just look for us on the comicforums.com or on the main page in the podcast list.
Excelente. And you might have to be on Comic Timing at some point, you know, in a professional matter.
Is that my punishment for the weekend? Your punishment is
no.
Two episodes of Comic Timing.
No. Your punishment would be a regular on Geeks Unite, okay? So right. don't worry about that. This is safe, unless, of course, he comes on.
No one is safe from Raph.
I think nope.
The one thing that I've learned so far in my 24 hours in this city is that no one is safe.
Whether you like it or not. And you're probably going to end up hearing Raph at some point during this. All right. Thanks again for joining us, Dave.
No problem.
All right, more from the Super Show as time goes on, and probably the actual live episode, probably tomorrow, live from the room. Bye.
Duty.
As Raph laughs at me saying the word duty, we are live from the CGS Super Show, and the man who's also laughing is the current artist, well, soon to be current artist, as the issue comes out very, very soon, of Supergirl, Jamal Igel. What's going on, Jamal?
I'm doing all right. What's going on, Ian?
Same old, except for the fact that, you know, I'm dead on my feet right now, but eh.
Well, I'm sitting down and I'm still dead, so.
So how's the weekend been going for you?
So far, so good. It's you know, it's a nice little show. I missed it last year because I was on my honeymoon, and I couldn't convince my wife to, you know, go all the way out to Reading, Pennsylvania.
Golly gee whiz. Yeah. Hey honey, I got a great idea. Let's have our honeymoon in Amish country.
Well, I almost got her to come with me today, but at the last minute she remembered something that she needed to take care of, so I'm here all by my lonesome. My girls are out in Connecticut right now. So.
That's why I'm the helper monkey.
Well, yeah, it's fine. You got Raph here, and I guess that's good enough, right?
Not quite as pretty, but just as helpful.
Okay, so you're starting off on Supergirl, and this is going to be, I guess, part of the sort of brain trust that's going on in the Superman universe now. How different is it to do art for a book that's sort of relying on three books as opposed to just one?
Absolutely and completely frustrating, actually. No, because you're waiting for other pieces of artwork from other artists to come in order to, you know, do the work that you need to do. That's the difficult part, and it's, for me, I'm not the most patient man in the world when it comes to stuff like that. I hate waiting. So, but once the artwork actually comes in, then it's fine. I just, you know, it's like you have a certain plan that you want to follow and you want to see, especially with Supergirl 35 and Action 869 that's coming out. There's a scene in Action 869 that actually mirrors something going on in Supergirl 35, which I can't talk about because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Next question.
Let me guess, the return of Streaky the Supercat.
Yes, it is the return of Streaky the Supercat.
It's not a Supercat, though. It's just Streaky the Cat.
Oh, that's true. It's Streaky
and don't call it a comeback. She's been there for years.
Exactly.
Okay, well, you know what? What's coming up that you can actually talk about in Supergirl?
What's coming up? For those people who aren't aware, we have a storyline that's coming up in all three Superman books. So this is Action Comics, Superman, and Supergirl, called New Krypton. And basically what happens is, slightly spoiling the current Brainiac storyline, the lost city of Kandor is unshrunk on Earth in the Arctic near the Fortress of Solitude, and 100,000 Kryptonians are now flying around on the Earth.
Shit shall hit the fan.
Exactly. Not everybody is happy.
Gee, I wonder why. Now, one of the things I was sort of confused about with Superman right now, I've sort of been a little bit confused about the Lost City of Kandor, so whether or not it's always, like, resided in the fortress now, or whether they retconned it as to being found on Brainiac's ship. So what's the deal with that?
Basically, it's been found on Brainiac's ship. It isn't even really a retcon. What happened was that the Lost City of Kandor that was in the Superman books before wasn't the actual Kandor. It was only an alien city that took on the name Kandor. So the Kandor that is on Brainiac's ship is the actual Kandor that was absconded with by Brainiac 35 years ago.
So those ones are just like another lost city from like the same solar system or something like that?
Well, it's an interdimensional doorway.
Okay.
I didn't write it. I can't explain it. It is an interdimensional doorway. It wasn't the actual Kandor.
Okay.
So, but this is the actual Kandor.
All right.
On Earth.
Won't the real Kandor please stand up? Please stand
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
All right, man. And you know what? I'll ask you one more question. Favorite sketch you've been sketching so far this weekend?
I'm actually working on it right now. I've never drawn the Phantom before, but this is actually coming out pretty cool.
Excellent, man. Excellent. And give your website out there for the people.
My website is jamaligle.com, JAMALIGLE.com.
Those sexy dulcet tones.
Raf Suhu is not the person you want endorsing your website. We will be back here from Super Show the next time I turn this on.
Harold Jennett.
Back here from the Super Show, I'm here with Lynn Workman of Bushy Tales. Lynn, how's it going for you?
It's going pretty good, man. We're having a good time. I think everybody's kind of going to lunch because it's kind of a little lull here, and it should get crazy again here momentarily. We're looking forward to it.
See, that's why this is the best time to do interviews, because it's a nice lulled crowd.
Yeah, I get caught up on a couple of sketches.
So tell everybody out there about Bushy Tales.
Bushy Tales is it's about four samurai girls who go on a quest for the Japanese god of war, Hashiman. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic, feudal Japan. So.
And what stuff do you have available here?
We've got issues 1 through 3 right now, and I've got an alternate cover done by Janet Wade, and it's got a backup feature by Anton in it, and then we've got the Mid-South Cartoonist Association anthology. And I've also got our sketchbook that Dave and I did. It's a flip book. Half is mine, half is his.
I see you've got cards here, too.
Yeah, we've got some sketch cards. I did a bunch of sketch cards based on the End comic, the CGS End comic, and I've also got some from other shows, and I've also got trading cards. We've got Bushy Tales trading cards.
Now, were you a part of CGS End?
Yes, I did pages, I believe, 11 and 12 or 12 and 13. I can't remember, but it's in about the middle of the book.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I have it, so I'll certainly have to go check that out.
Yeah, I just picked it up. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I got to see like the pages that went before me, and then the pages after me. I kind of glanced at a few, like the art, but I didn't read it because I wanted to wait till the comic came out.
So how's this ranking as a mini-con so far?
This is great. The last con I went to, you could have called it Closet Con. Yeah, any smaller, and that's what it would have been. But this has been a lot of fun. It's big enough to where they got wide aisles to where you're not cramped, you're not bumping into each other. They've got space to expand, and but we're close enough to each other where if we want to run over and say hey to a friend or get something signed ourselves, we can.
It's certainly not New York Comic Con 06.
No, not at, or San Diego. My gosh, I had con lag for a week after San Diego.
You know, I didn't go to Comic Con this year mostly because of the cost of flights, because I mean with the gas prices and all that, it's crazy. But last year I went, and I was still in San Diego headwise at least for 2 weeks after that.
Oh yeah, like I said, you get con lag, and I don't know what it was about this year as opposed to last year, but it was more chaotic and hectic, and I don't know if I didn't get away from the table enough, or when I did that I got caught up in a sea of people, because it turned into one-way streets. You couldn't turn around and go back the other way. You just had to go with the crowd.
Didn't wind up with Conflag, though, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Came back from Otakon a couple weeks ago, and I'm just like, hello? Yeah.
It's funny to watch people, this is a good starter con. If you've never been to a con before, come to something like this. Don't go straight to San Diego, because it's like it's like information overload. You just see people walking around with these wide eyes, like, what is going on?
Well, I asked Jamal Igle this before, so I'll ask you this. What's your favorite thing you've sketched so far this weekend?
Well, right now I'm working on one for Radio Wayne. It's an R2-D2. He's got an R2-D2 sketchbook going. That was fun. That's what I'm working on right now. I'm doing another sketch, an Obi-Wan Kenobi, for my friend Tess's little nephew, Dominic. And it's kind of a get-well sketch for him. And I got a Jamie D. He won't know about this until later. So I started a sketchbook for Jamie D's birthday. So I've been passing it around, trying to get some stuff going.
Oh, very nice. I'm sure he's going to love that.
Oh, yeah. He's as big a fanboy as they get. Mm-hmm.
I got him one of those talking cards with the Simpsons scene where Mo is attached to the lie detector.
I love beer, Margie.
Yeah.
All right, you want to give everybody the website out there?
Yeah, it's bushytells.com, or just ask Raph, he'll tell you. But but it's bushytales. Don't go to the other one unless you're over 18. So this one's okay. This is family friendly. So
it's like going to whitehouse.com instead of whitehouse.org.
Exactly. Yeah, Charlito told me about it, and which should tell you something there.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for coming around, man. Appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
No, definitely, sure. And more from Super Show to come. Back here at the glorious, the spectacular, the exceptional, the super show. And it is Saturday, and I'm here with Sean Pryor, who is pipping Mercury and the Murd. What's going on, Sean?
Doing good. How are you doing today, Ian?
Not too shabby. Now, first off, tell the folks out there about Mercury and the Murd.
All right. Mercury and the Murd is a new comic from PKD Media. We're three issues in. It's written by myself. It has had artwork from Chad Ciccone of Baby Boomers from AAM Marcosia, as well as artwork from Dave DeWanch of Special Ed fame, as well as Super Real Graphics Presents Gnome. And it's a combination of Lethal Weapon meets Sam and Max. It's two police detectives, Detective Adam Murdo from Comic Geek Speak. Yeah, that's right, Comic Geek Speak's own Adam Murdo as a pop culture-loving police detective, along with his new partner, Beck Mercury, as they solve bizarre crimes from the ACU, which is known as the Aberrant Crimes Unit.
Okay, now, question, which one solves the crimes, his mutton chomps or him himself?
You know, they both try, but in the end, they really don't end up solving the crimes. The crimes solve themselves. But yet, in the end, they're still heroes.
The answer is mutton chops.
Yes.
So did the concept come before or after you met Murd?
Actually, it came after I met Murd. Originally, I wanted to create a new podcast. This was back in 2007. I wanted to create my own podcast, and I met Murd and all the geeks at Pittsburgh Comic Con in 07. And after having a long talk with them, I said, you know what? I want to do my own podcast. I want it to be something like Inside the Actor Studio meets Superheroes.
Scrumptious.
Exactly. Yes, a cornucopia of flavor of 4-5-panel variety. But, Murd said, well, if you need any help with, like, reference material or anything like that, by all means, get a hold of me. And I said, okay. And then after realizing there are a lot of podcasts out there that were better than my idea, I let it go, and I said, you know what, I want to start writing again, and I want to make comic books, and I had an idea for, a bizarre cop theme comic, and as soon as I thought of Adam Murdo, and I saw the mutton chops, I'm like, I have to put him in a book. And you know what, in conventions and shows, this book does very well. It's very catchy. It's a lot of fun. It's all ages. Adults can read it. Kids can read it. It's for everybody. So it's a good time.
And it's like the closest thing Murd's going to get to being on TV.
For now, yes.
For a visual as well, I'd say the mutton chops are about as striking a visual as Wolverine's hair.
Yeah. It's very, yes, it is. And especially anytime Chad or Dave DeWanch do the sideburns, and even Marthaeus Wade, who provided the cover artwork for issue one, the sideburns are just key. And they get it down to a T every single time.
Is this going to continue to be a rotating artist thing, or...?
Issues 1 and 3 were by Chad Ciccone. 2 and 4 were by Dave DeWanch. Starting with issue 4, we moved from 8 pages to 16 pages. But issues 5 through whenever will all be Chad Ciccone.
Okay, cool. So Ciccone is the official artist now.
Yes, he is the official artist until he gets a real-time job. And then I lose him forever, and we have to start this process all over again.
Well, hopefully that's quite some time from now.
Yes. Hopefully we can get a trade of material out sometime later next year. We'll see. Time will tell.
Now, see, you've got action figures here, and one of which is the limited edition Peter Rios action figure. Now, how long have you been wanting to do action figures, and where'd you get the concept of, creating action figures like this?
The concept of creating action figures, I've had, this inclination to do this since I was a kid. But, you know, I didn't really know how. I didn't know how to make mock-up action figures or change them up or, you know, make them look interesting. You know, but you get a little older, you become more creative, and then in the middle of the night, 3 in the morning, you can't sleep, it just hits you. So then you just start writing everything down. But a lot of it, you know, I could take an action figure from the store, mod it up, change it up, repaint it, and make it look, you know, somewhat similar to either Peter Rios, a.k.a. X-01 of X-01, the Rock Solid Steelbots fame, or Adam Murdo, a.k.a. the Murd, you know, by just cutting some hair off of a doll and super glowing sideburns on the side.
And even looking at this poster here, now, I believe one of those does look a lot like Jamie D. Now, is that intentional, or?
That is intentional because Jamie D is the primary villain of the next story arc, which takes place in issue 5. We're going to put out issue 4 hopefully sometime in October, November, issue 5 possibly by December. And it starts a new story arc. Jamie D is a business tycoon villain, a la the Kingpin, but it's a lot more cooler and a lot more fun to read. And it also will introduce Brad Milo and Frank A. Rincon as agents of Colt. And Agents of Colt is a combination of S.H.I.E.L.D. meets Men in Black.
Okay, so if they ever need a lawyer, I'm in. Because, you know, Levinstein, Jewish, makes sense.
You know what, I wasn't going to go there, but seeing that you did, yeah, that's cool.
But seriously, though, I would kill to have my name in a comic book. Seriously, I would kill. I'm not even kidding. Find me someone to kill.
You know, we might be able to make that happen, seriously. We might be able to work something out.
All right, good. Trade an interview for appearance on a comic. It's all good. It's all good. That works for me.
It's all about balances, man. It's all about balances. You know, this show today is so awesome because everybody that's here is here for the love of comics, and everybody's so supportive of one another here. It's a very positive experience. I was at the Pittsburgh Comic Con, my very first con, having a table, and this passed a few months ago, back in April. And, you know, it was a 50-50 response. You know, some people would just walk by and not look at you because they think you're just going to hawk, you know, like hawk over them and say, buy my stuff. I'm real laid back. I'll stand up because that's just how I was taught. You stand up, you stay at full attention, and if somebody's got a question, you talk to them. You know, but for other people, they think, oh, he's trying to sell me something. I need to run away. I shouldn't look at him. I'm like, dude, it's okay. You know, I'm not going to force you to buy anything that you want to buy. But if you got a question, I'll give you an answer. And if you want to buy it, great. If not, oh, well, we move on.
See, right away, I think of the episode of The Critic where we see that, like, John Lovitz talking, sign, buy my book, buy my book. And then we learned that, like, there were, like, 12 insanity cases because of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Oh, that stuff's just bizarre, you know. But here, it's just the environment is wonderful. You know, it's just all love. And you don't see that much nowadays. And it's definitely, I definitely will be back here next year because it's worth it. It's worth it. For anybody who missed out on this show, you're missing out. Seriously. Get your butt out here next year. And I'm not just saying it because I got a table. We got Katie Cook out here. We got Jamal Igel out here. We got Steve Bryan out here. He's an Eisner nominee. We got Mike Norton here. Mike Norton hasn't even eaten any children yet. Why aren't you here?
Okay, that is, in essence, the best reason to come to a convention, because Mike Norton has not eaten any children yet. He is restraining himself.
Yes, a restrained Mike Norton is a wonderful Mike Norton, but a wild Mike Norton is even better.
And a restrained Raph is amazing.
I've never seen a restrained Raph. I don't know of this restrained Raph that you speak of. I've been blessed by the Raph's presence since Thursday, and let me tell you, it's special.
By restrained, I meant restraining orders, of course.
Thank you for the clarification. Thank you.
All right, you want to give the website out there for everybody?
Yes, the website is www.pkdmedia.com. Please be patient with our website. It's very basic right now. We hope to have it completely overhauled by the end of the year. And we're going to have hopefully some more comics come out in the near future, including additional web comics, and maybe even next year convert Mercury and the Murd into an anthology book with three other titles. So just stay tuned.
And I certainly shall. Sean Breyer, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, more from CGS Super Show the next time I click this little red button here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is the final day of the Super Show.
Woo!
Woo! Raph, come here. I need you to say something. And I am here with...
Harold Jennett.
Thank you. And... And I'm also here with the guy who apparently has my entire wardrobe, Wayne Cordova.
No.
Hi, Wayne.
How's it going, dude? You doing all right?
I'm doing well, except for the fact that you have my entire wardrobe.
Yes, but you look better in it than I do.
Oh, you see, he's suave. He's very suave.
Than he does.
Oh, snap.
Seeing you both naked.
Oh, dear Lord. All right. Anywho's, how's the weekend gone for you? Start off with Wayne.
What was the question?
If you could be any chipmunk, which one would you be and why?
Hello, Theodore, because he's the cute and cuddly one.
Okay, and how has your weekend been so far?
The weekend's been amazing. I am the fat one, thank you. He would be Simon, by the way.
Yeah, I would.
The weekend's been awesome, dude. Dream come true. It's just been really cool, you know, kind of seeing mimes come from creation to you know, having to deal with an artist who is very difficult to work with, by the way. And then you know, having the book come out and sell out, and it's been cool. And everybody's cool. Of course, Raph is here. So Raph was the first pre-order, by the way. But oddly enough, one of the last people to actually pick up the book. So that's kind of strange.
I'm not surprised by that at all, actually.
I think he was having trouble ponying up the cash, you know, so.
Well, I still owe him like $40 for the room. Okay, Mr. Harold Jennett, how is your...
Yeah, I got it.
So I see.
I owe you for the rest of mimes. Here's the last 35 cents.
The last 35 cents? Okay. Yeah, wow, terrific. Okay, Mr. Excuse me, I'm too busy to have an interview because I'm doing business.
What?
How's your weekend?
Give me that microphone. Okay, let me tell you about my weekend. First thing, I woke up and I made a banana shake for Wayne. And I talked to my daughter. I made her breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll shorten it up a little bit. It has been very good. It's been fun having an actual product to give to people. Doing the sketches in the back has been time-consuming but fun. But no, I was happy to do it. It's been kind of crazy trying to keep track of everything. The worst part is I want to like hang out with everybody. And with being busy, I'm really glad we do the stuff after the show to hang out. And it's still not enough time. I wish this was a week long. But that's how it's going. It's awesome. One word, awesome.
Okay, that was more than one word at the end. But okay, that one word was...
You're Jewish, I'm German. Don't push it.
Whoa!
He went there. Oh, he totally went there.
In the steel cage.
What?
You can print that in the Pulse.
Damn. One of the questions I've been asking everybody this weekend, how does this sort of convention compare to the bigger ones?
I don't go to many bigger ones, but I like it a lot more. It's more, you feel like you know the guys, there's a sense of community. That's like the cliche term I think we've all been using, but it's true. It's completely true.
Cool. Wayne, what about you? How does a convention like this compare to, say, like the Uber ones, the awesome ones, the huge ones, the ginormous ones, the ones that are so freaking big that you can't walk around?
It doesn't compare, dude. This is, it's a family reunion. You know, it's basically, you know, seeing all the crazy aunts and uncles, you know, the people who, you know, have been there kind of, you know, supporting from the ground level up and stuff. It's not a convention, dude. It's just a gathering, and people may be here kind of soliciting their wares and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, everybody here, they're from the forums. They're from, you know, again, from the ground level up, you know. So it's cool, man. It's like you got to put it on your calendar every year. Forget San Diego and all this other kind of stuff. You got to put this, the Super Show, on your calendar. If you're a listener of Comic Timing, Comic Geek Speak, Radio Wayne, whatever, you know, I mean, you got to put it on here because this is where everybody comes to, you know, meet, greet, have fun, go eat, you know, hang out. It doesn't happen like that in any other con.
Not only did you rhyme most of what you just said, but I've never heard of this podcast, Radio Wayne.
And it's neat.
I'm whatever.
It's not discreet.
No, you make me feel like I'm not.
And Ian likes to eat pork meat.
That is true, actually. That is very, very true. My God, the bacon at Shady Maple is delicious.
I have nothing to say after that. I'm speechless. But it's been good, man. You having fun?
I'm having a killer time. And
you now for your podcast. So, what's been the highlight of your weekend?
Well, Wayne, I'm glad you asked. No, I mean it's just been a fantastic weekend. I mean, hanging out with everybody, losing my voice on Saturday, and, you know, now sounding like a squeaking chipmunk, but, you know, other than that, yeah, just basically been having a great time. I can't even woo. 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 Oh. Whoa. The balloons are falling. The balloons are falling. What the hell are you laughing at?
I just alienated an entire continent. And I'm just.
Say it again when she gets here, please.
Oh my lordy! So how's the sewing of mimes been going all weekend?
The sewing of them?
The selling.
That was a setup question, wasn't it?
Yes. They're sold out.
Woo!
Yay!
We printed three.
Okay. Good. I bought two of them.
Yeah. And I lost the other copy.
It's not very impressive when you tell them how long the print run went.
All seven copies.
Copies, right?
100 copies, basically.
And what does MIME stand for again?
The Mobile Initiative for Meeting Evil Syndicates, my friend.
I forget. I don't even remember their names.
He just draws them. I put the words down. It's okay. Although Harold has he's got a story in the book, so it's story number two.
Words.
Very big ones with very small letters. It's just like... They were all four-letter words.
Yeah, I'll, like, lay in bed and be like, ooh, bearded lady fight! And I'll call Wayne, and he'll say, all right. And then I'll draw it, because he doesn't have any choice in the matter.
Okay, but it could only be four pages. And it's, no, I'm just kidding.
And then 8 pages later, it gets done.
You're like, exactly, but it was good.
And then Wayne will send me a script. Okay, panel one, man walks into room, says hello, picks up a pitcher of water, drinks it, goes to the bathroom, and leaves. Panel two. I'm like, wait, no, that's not how it works.
I want it to be moving. I want movement, sir.
Yeah, look, you got the whole book done in one page. That's
panel
awesome.
One, there's a big fight at the entire thing, and then it ends.
Wow.
One whole panel. Come on, dude.
Or perspective. You see the front of so-and-so smiling, and then the people on the other side of the room behind the wall are doing this, and this is, I got to call him, like, look, I can't think of anything clever to make fun of him anymore. I'm out.
Yes, Sean?
I would like to say that it is true that Wayne used Frank in his book first, before I acquired Brad and Frank for Agents of Colton, Mercury and the Murder, Issue 5, coming out in October. But I would like to say that Radio Wayne is quite the gentleman. He does have a tendency to give speeches that last 45 minutes, but damn it, I love this man.
I have a few words to say about that. I would like to say that...
Okay, anyway. And look for the Mimes, Mercury and the Murder crossover coming soon. And the Mood! They're cows.
I feel angry. Yes.
I like my men like I like my coffee. Black like Sean Pryor.
You damn right.
Sean, I have a question for you. What are some of the villains Colt, the team of Brad and Frank, are going to be fighting?
In the first issue of Agents of Colt, hopefully to come out in April in an anthology book, the title of the first issue with Agents of Colt, they fight, the title's called, and they called it UMAC.
What?
Oh. Nice.
Oh, nice.
So it's a gay robot.
Oh,
oh,
no.
Oh, he went there. He totally went there. Oh.
My property.
Okay. I swear to God, if I see a mime wearing a yarmulke in this book and you name him Levinstein, I am going to kill you.
You don't need to worry about that.
Dear sweet Lord. I don't know.
Not a good idea.
Now, this is your first comic, right?
Yeah, it's the first comic I ever wrote, and now the second one is going to be much better because I'm going to hire a different writer. Okay. And it was the first one. It was good, and now you just gave me an idea. I see a steel-encrusted yarmulke that you throw out, and dude just starts throwing it like little ninja stars.
I'm not drawing that.
Draw it. Come on.
I'll start right now.
It goes against his German heritage.
Yes.
We've officially announced the retirement of mimes. That's it. Go out while we're ahead. No.
The sequel, Spoken People, will be coming out soon.
Meet the anti-mimes coming soon.
Well, I'm expecting that the next issue is going to be drawn by your bizarre universe self that doesn't have the goatee.
That's right. Well, he's actually the good guy. See, because I'm the evil twin, and he's the good one that's coming out somewhere from a parallel universe.
I somehow expected that. Give the website to the people out there.
Mimescomic.com. It's actually a webcomic, so we're actually reprinting the first issue week by week so people could catch up. And then intermittently throughout different stories, we'll be including new content, and then pretty soon it'll be a massive evil empire of mimes.
Mwahaha, ha 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 ha.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
I already am. Don't worry about it.
Awesome, man.
And Radio Wayne is at?
RadioWayne.net. And actually, you could actually go to WayneCordova.com and you can surf around and you'll find links to mimes and Radio Wayne and, you know, eBay sales and all that. Please fund mimes. Buy my stuff.
Does Janet have a website?
I have a blog I never update. I was mimes told I comic. Should. Yeah, mimescomic.com.
That's your new blog.
TrustyMootsy@livejournal.com. No, that would be an email address. TrustyMootsy.livejournal.com.
I'm going to friend you when I get home.
You should, and then remind me to get my button gear and start posting things. I should post all my sketches from Super Show.
Yes, you should. You definitely should. Bye, Harold.
You're a man of high taste standards or something that I'm not saying right.
I love you, Harold.
I love you carnally.
Good night, everybody.
Wow.
This is Raph, the legendary creator of Geeks Unite. I am filling in for Ian Levinstein of Comic Timing. This is Comic Timing after all. And I am here with Zach Krusey. Okay. All right. Zach, how's it going?
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Okay, cool. So how's the con been for you so far? I mean, it's winding down right now, but have you enjoyed it?
Oh, man, this has been amazing. I've had so much fun here. Got to meet so many people that I just know, you know, normally through the boards, and there's nothing like it. It's been awesome.
All right, so why don't you tell our listeners, for those people who have not heard about The Contingent or any of your work, why don't you fill them in on that?
All right. I love doing the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
The Contingent, on the surface, it's a basic superhero story. It's about six kids who basically get drafted into a school where they're trained to, you know, hone their abilities. But when they get there, they're given all these sort of vagaries about, you know, why they're there and no real reasons. And what the reader finds out is that there's much more to it than that. There's some fishy dealings going on, and we follow the kids and how they react to the situation and how they deal with it. But that's what's going on the surface. But beneath that, there's lots of stuff about friendship and loyalty and integrity and important things.
That's cool. I always like kids that don't know what they're doing and have powers, and then they find out stuff. That's that's a horrible description, a redescription of what you just said. Boy, I tried my best.
It's pretty close. You know, like, normally, like, I'm not a big fan of teen books because I'm like, this is kind of silly. Like, these kids just magically know how to use their powers and, you know, and fight crime. So what I got to do with this, I got to take characters that, like, and build characters that I actually really care about and, like, express, like, you know, like, things that I went through as a teenager growing up and learning how to deal with things and how to react to people and sort of apply that to, like, how these guys behave.
Yeah, so basically it's like Teen Titans of natural and real.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully that's how it comes off.
Well, okay, so is this available in print, or is it a web strip, or how can people get in touch and read it and stuff? I'm a good interviewer.
Yes. Amazing. This is the best yet. No, it's going to be in the October previews, and we're going to do it bi-monthly. So October for number one, December for number two, and we have six issues that are all written and drawn right now, and they're ready to go, so we'll be on schedule. And hopefully if we can make the first six successful, we'll do another six and another six and another six. We have 48 planned out right now, so.
Cool, sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. Hi, Ian here. So how difficult is it to get in the previews? Because, I mean, obviously, you're really, like, first starting out with this here. So how difficult is it for them to actually pay attention to you?
Yeah, it's not easy. Like, you really have to work at it, and you have to be confident in your product, and you have to be confident in, you know, what you've created, and not be afraid to talk to people and say, hey, this is me, this is my work, and this is why you should, you know, carry it.
Any other conventions planned for the upcoming future?
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to do the Screaming Tiki Con in Niles, Ohio in October, and then on the 25th, I'm going to do Windy City Con in Chicago.
Now, the Screaming Tiki Con, that sounds like Freaky Tiki should be there for it. We have to invite him.
Yeah, oh yeah, it seems like that's the exact place where he should be. Like, he should be spending his whole week there, but you never know, so.
All right, great. You want to give the website out there for everybody?
Yeah, right now we don't have a website set up, but you can check me out on Comic Space. It's comicspace.com/Zach_Kruse, Kruse. And you can also check out the book and preview pages on DCBS First Light page.
All right, great. All right, thanks a lot, Zach.
Oh, thank you.
All right. More from the Super Show to come from Ian and probably Raph because my voice is gone.
Zer and R.
Bye.
Okay, this is Raph, a.k.a. Wraithmaker on the forums, host of Geek Tonight, and roving reporter for Comic Timing, even though Ian doesn't pay me. All right, I'm here with Mr. and Mrs. Angry Gnome, Stephanie, and Sean Gabrin. I'm going to go with Gabrin, because that's what you said to go with, so I'm going to do that. And they are from Angry Gnome Comics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Angry Gnome?
We do horror comics. Have a couple different stories going on. Palm Reader. It's about a group of college kids who mistreat a fortune teller, and she just gets her revenge. Nice classic story. Another story, Victor Season, that's about a small town and how they deal with the fact that every year a serial killer comes back to their town. So it's kind of from their point of view. And Short Stack, which is a book of 13 different stories. Each is like a two-pager, and they're all sort of Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt-style stories.
Okay, cool. So why did you guys pick horror anyway? I mean, there's a whole bunch of genres, and horror is one of the bigger ones, but still nothing... I mean, superheroes are all over the place. So is that a specific reason why you picked that one?
It sort of factored in, but I've been watching horror movies since I was probably five, so it's just something that I've grown up with, so it's something that I wanted to do.
That's cool. I remember watching horror movies for like an hour and then peeing my pants and going to bed and not sleeping for weeks on end. But it's good that someone else enjoyed them.
How do you respond to that?
I just broke Sean.
You really don't respond to it. Sorry. It's just not the way it works with him. Now, Stephanie, I know you're a little bit shy, but we'll get a couple of questions towards you here. About how much is your art influenced by other, say, like horror comics and the horror genre in general?
There's quite a lot. I think I work with pencils all the time, so I don't ink anything. I think it gives it a gritty feel. And looking at all the different horror movies that I grew up watching, I've taken a lot of that blood and gore and try to really use that in the comics that I draw. So,
what is your favorite horror movie?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I'd have to go with the classic Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Old school.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sean, what about you?
Oh, same thing. Nightmare on Elm Street number 3, actually, for me.
So, were you afraid of gnomes at an early age? And did that influence your decision to go with Angry Gnome as your theme here?
No, we were just trying to come up with something that had a good image and is something that would stick in your head when you heard it.
Everybody loves gnomes. So, you know, the creepier, the better, and... that's how we got it.
I do love gnomes. A little illogically at times, but I do love them. Oh, and Child's Play scarred me for life.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it is along the same lines of you know, those type of horror movies where it's like it's the thing you least expect that's going to kick your ass.
Absolutely. Those are the best.
Well, and obviously, I mean, that is sort of the thing that I guess you're going for here. The you know, when you least expect it, you can die in a terrible, terrible, terrible death.
Yeah, that's part of the fun of it, is anyone can go at any time.
All right, you guys got a website out there you want to talk about?
AngryGnomeComics.com. There's preview art for all of our books and ordering information for all of them as well. So,
Excellent. And that's just your website as well, or do you have an art website?
No, it's the same.
Okay, cool. Excellent. All right, cool. Sweet. Actually, for that matter, how do we get a hold of Angry Gnome outside of the con world? You can order it from the website?
Yeah.
There's a link on the website for our store, for our books. They're all on Indie Planet, so they're all available online.
Okay, great. Excellent. All right, well, thanks, guys, for the interview.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
I will try not to pee my pants when I read your books.
Please. It stains, and I... the upholstery, please. The upholstery.
I know. I just did.
Bye-bye.
Get out of the way.
And I'm with Katie Cook, who can draw, but maybe she can cook, too. Hi, Katie.
Hey there.
So how are you enjoying your con weekend so far?
You know, aside from a very terrifying little Asian man, I think I'm doing okay.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. You're adorable.
Thank you. So, I heard on another place that you were going to be doing Star Wars. Is that going well?
It's going very well. I'm going to be doing the one of the artists on the online comic that goes along with the new Clone Wars TV series.
I interview good.
You interview good.
All right. Also, I also got a really, really great snapper car getting wedgied by Superman. Are there any other favorites that you did?
I've done a few that I really liked. Someone asked me for Ghost Rider riding Lockjaw, which I just thought was so funny. And it was good times.
Have you ever seen the Marvel Millennial Visions that had Ghost Rider riding a tricycle?
No, I haven't. That's funny.
That is magic right there. I believe they explained it that in the year 2016, sales went down so much they decided to give him the scooter saga. So they put him on a scooter, a small little kid's scooter, and had him ride around like normal Ghost Rider.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Well, you know, it could still be done.
I wish. I hope.
So how does a convention like this compare to, say, like the uber awesome ginormous ones?
Well, the thing I like about this is that, you know, we're kind of a family. We're a big, nerdy family. I mean, I know these guys from the forums and, you know, just, you know, smack-talking at other conventions. And, you know, because I love the geeks. I mean, they're fantastic. So, I mean, when they invited me out here, I didn't even blink at the 10-hour drive. It was like, nope, I'll be there.
See, Raph is the redheaded stepchild, so that's fine.
Good to know.
My hair is red.
Oh, dear Lord in hell. So, actually, how do, say, like, online comics compare to doing written comics? Is there any different art style that you need to use for those?
Well, the good thing about this Star Wars project is they're really letting me do my own style and just have fun with it. And, you know, because sometimes they say, well, I want this style or I want this style or I want you to draw like this person. And they're really just letting me do my own thing, which is really fun.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're not really stuck with any specifics like, oh, no, Boba Fett has to be this tall.
No.
Yoda has to be this short and talk this specific way.
Chewbacca has to be as tall as Mike Norton.
Well, that's a given. I'm sorry.
Chewbacca is Mike Norton.
Yeah, I already pointed that out once, and I think he called me a jerk.
He tried to eat me because he thought I was a baby.
Are you tender? I don't know.
A little bit.
Let's not even get into that. Now, with the shirt you're wearing today, have you gotten any comments?
I have. I love Captain Hammer.
You know, the hammer is my... Anyway, Dr. Horrible was so exceptional. I'm actually first watching Buffy and Angel now because I'm really far behind in life, apparently. And, I'd say that I like Firefly, but I think Dr. Horrible is the thing that compares the most with the style we had in Buffy and Angel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, I was just such a Buffy fan when it came out, and in a sad, sad way, I was a Buffy fan, is the best way to put it.
Please tell me you weren't, like, running around cosplaying as Buffy, were you?
No, but that was my ritual. When a new episode was on, I had to be home. I wasn't going out anywhere. I was planted in front of the TV.
At least I'm watching it the right way. Like, I watch an episode of Buffy, then I watch the corresponding episode of Angel, back and forth, as if I'm watching it on the WB back in the year 2001.
That's a good plan.
You're not as bad as me. I did that for Dawson's Creek.
It's kind of gay.
Very, very gay.
Do you want to know how I know I'm gay? I watched Dawson's Creek.
Do, 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 do. All right, you want to give the website out there for everybody?
It is katiecandraw.com.
Excelente. And where are we on the Star Wars stuff? I mean, when should we be expecting the awesomeness to occur?
In October, after the first episode on starwars.com.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Katie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dawson's Creek.
That's actually not true. I didn't do that. Watch. It'll be funny.
I've seen this kid all weekend, and there's no fear involved.
He scares people.
That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. There might not be fear, but there was fear.
I think my life is complete. David Peterson called me scary. I can die now.
Right,
bye, bushy tails!
In fact, someone does buy bushy tails.
All right.
You're on, you're good, you're recording, do it. Okay. I'm standing in front of Mr. Mouseguard. Hello, Mr. Mouseguard.
Hello.
You do good comics. I like them very much because I like mice that fight with swords.
Well, thank you. I like readers who read.
I like reading, too.
Okay. Okay, that was obviously the interview for the 2-year-old to listen to this show. Now let's go a little young. Let's skew a little older now. Let's go maybe the college level of reading, perhaps.
Boom, boom.
Well, apparently I'm taking over. All right, so tell the listening audience out there a little bit about Mouseguard.
Mouseguard is a medieval comic adventure book about mice with swords. Because mice are pretty low on the food chain and so many predators are against them, they build their cities kind of deep and hidden so that they're protected. But that makes them prisoners of those cities. So the Mouse Guard is there as an organization to be the mice out in the wild, to go between cities and make sure mail delivery can happen and shipments of grain and food and medicine can make their way where they need to be.
And this was obviously based on a true-life story, correct?
Yes. My backyard is an epic battle all the time. No, it came out of a high school idea that I had about just combining like animal stories that I liked and Dungeons & Dragons.
Now, how long did you have the story itself percolating in your head once you came up with the concept?
The high school story didn't have any of the mice in it. The mice characters came in about 1996. And the first mice I ever drew were Saxon, Kenzie, and Rand. And since 1996, it's stewed until about 2005 when I started working on the book.
Now, this is a project that I assume you expect to be doing for years and years to come because you're just in love with it so much.
Yeah. I mean, I know that at some point I'm going to have to take a break just for sanity's sake to draw something other than mice. But, I think this is going to be the project that I keep coming back to and I will always be associated with.
Here's a thought. Frog assassins.
Frog assassins. That's,
That ride lobsters for horses.
That ride... The frogs ride the lobsters?
Yeah. As horses.
Maybe the Hypno-Toad. Maybe I'll do a Futurama, yeah.
Out of curiosity, did you happen to see the full half-hour episode of Everybody Loves Hypnotoad they put on the DVD set?
I've heard about it. I have not. I didn't see the DVD. I watched it when they aired it on Cartoon Network, but I didn't actually see the DVD. But that's hilarious that they did that.
See, my friends actually sat down and we watched the full thing without actually like stopping at all. And afterwards, we kind of felt a little funny.
Yeah, your eyes hurt and your stomach's growled and...
All of a sudden, we had a hunger for toads.
Oh, fear the Hypno-Toad.
So what other projects do you have coming down the pipe?
Right now, I'm working on a 5-page story for Vertigo, for House of Mystery. I just did a cover for The Dragon Prince, which will be on issue 4. That's coming out through Top Cow. But other than that, it's pretty much all Mouse Guard.
How do you feel anthologies benefit creators? Because obviously it's a little different than doing one full book yourself as opposed to doing like a five-page story for an anthology. I can't talk.
Sure. The House of Mystery thing is more just a two-person, so it's not really the same as an anthology. But I have done anthologies and been asked to do anthologies, and it's always something that I think sounds neat, but ultimately, unless you have total control over who the other people are that are doing it, it seems like you're almost kind of almost always disappointed that, you know, the book isn't as good as you imagined it because you were imagining all the creators that you'd like to see in that book, that kind of a thing. So it's tricky. I think that part of me thinks they're hard to sell, but then Flight obviously proved that to be not entirely true. You would think that pretty much you have to have enough creators in there that people are familiar with, that they're willing to buy the whole book, because ultimately there's going to be something in there nobody wants to read, or you know, not always the same thing, but you know, someone's not going to want to read my piece, or someone's not going to want to read the next person's piece.
It's kind of funny how anthologies are sort of coming back into the mainstream with Marvel Comics Presents and DC going back with the House of Mystery stuff with Vertigo. It's like it's sort of come full circle. Like anthologies seem to be back in the mainstream a little bit.
It'd be cool if it did. I remember it was a great sampler kind of a thing. I remember looking at, and even things like back when Marvel did What the. What the isn't really something you usually point back to as being a treasure trove, but. A lot of good creators worked on those silly little stories.
I used to love those like two-panel what-if stories they would stick in the back of the what-ifs. Like what if Spider-Man actually made webs out of his butt?
Wow, I don't remember that one. I just always remember the classic, anytime you had Wolverine, it was always like a corkscrew and a spoon and a knife, and yeah. But it was fun to see the way that everyone would draw the corkscrew, and the spoon, and the knife. I'm pretty sure like Mignola did some, Romita Jr. did some. I mean, it was like guys who are big guys now contributed to What the?
Back in the day. How does a small convention like this compare to the bigger ones? Because, I mean, you've been to plenty so far, so I'm sure you could probably have a take on both.
It's smaller here.
Yeah, that is certainly true, yes.
The bigger shows, you know, you can get more attention in some ways, but in other ways, there's so much going on, it's hard to tell whether you really do get more attention. Shows like this are obviously more intimate. You get to interact with a lot of the fans a lot more. It was pretty much the same faces both days. So when people came back, I had already had a conversation with them, and we could use that first conversation as a jumping point to what we were going to talk about today, or you know what we were looking at, or whatever. And at a bigger convention, it's really broken into snippets. I mean, there's obviously a lot more excitement at a bigger convention. There's big announcements and lots of big creators that you want to run around and. But I think smaller conventions, you can take the time to be with people and you can find stuff that hasn't been discovered yet.
Less DC Nation, more 501st.
Exactly.
You want to give the website to everybody out there?
Sure. Either mouseguard.net or davidpeterson.net.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks, David, for your time.
Thank you.
Raph, you want to say anything else? Hypnotoad. Thank you. Well, wasn't that exciting, really? Everybody in the crowd enjoyed that, right? Everybody, yeah?
That was the most intelligible I've ever heard anything.
It changed my life.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
So what was, how was your life different before?
Words can't describe.
All right, well, you know what? We'll start off with you, Chad, considering that you got the microphone right now. Give me your initial impression on the day one of the Shupa show and the weekend in general for you so far.
Well, I was kind of tired at 3rd and Spruce the other night, seeing how I'd been up since 4:30 in the morning, and then
that'll do it.
Had to drive about 4.5 hours after working half a day at work.
Yet again, that'll do it.
Yeah, so I kind of called it a night about 11 o'clock and came back and went to bed, and then woke up at my usual time at 4:30. Realized I didn't have to get up at 4:30, and rolled over, went back to bed.
So wait, 4:30 is your usual wake-up time?
Yes.
Oh my God, man.
I either teach a spin class at the YMCA in the morning, or take it.
Take it, bitch. Take it.
Right. And then, went to Shady Maples this morning.
Oh, yes. The yes. Mape, baby.
You got your mouth maped. You got your Oral-B maped. Yeah.
You know, if you have ever been maped, please report it to a policeman immediately.
I will.
Mape Prevention Center.
Mape Prevention Center.
Only you can prevent mape?
And it took us about 5 minutes to lose our heads. Exactly, yeah. You just woke up Dave, man. With that laughing, you woke up Dave. Remember, we're in a hotel room, okay? All right. But anyway, it is, and you know, not going with the rape theme, but is or is not Shady Maple a sexual experience?
It was great. I didn't even need to eat lunch. It was great to, you know, have a sausage and gravy.
Oh, sausage gravy.
Something
it exists.
I can't get up in upstate New York. After, you know, growing up in West Virginia and, you know, like it being a staple of my diet. It was like, you know, that and grits.
Oh. Well, at least this year, Raph knows that sausage gravy exists.
Wait,
well. you see, it's gravy with sausage. Oh, never mind. Anything special that you want to tell anybody out there about the first couple of days?
Not at the moment. It was kind of different than last year, because last year or the past 2 years we were all in a small little room.
Yeah.
And this year was more open, and I don't know. To me, it just kind of felt different.
Speaking of bigger rooms, even this room is bigger than last year. I remember we were all crammed into that small ass space last year.
And they had to bring in the lights so you could look in the quarter bins.
Oh dear. Well, even the hotel room that we were in last year was a hell of a lot smaller than this, man. We got a fucking luxury hotel here, basically, except for the midget shower.
You guys got a refrigerator this year.
Yes.
I didn't get one this year.
That's because we've been here 3 years. 3 years. Yeah. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. Not 3 years.
Well, why didn't anyone tell me?
You know, what does it say when he has the microphone and the microphone's still picking you up?
That I'm one crazy fuck.
Well, I guess that's what I, you know, get for getting the discounted government rate. So
I guess so. All right, well, let's pass it on to Bill. Not just Bill, though. Just Bill, but not Bill, but not just Bill. I'm so fucking confused. Bill, give us your impressions
That's
on your first.
It was great. I had a great time. We showed up at 8:30. I think we were the first two people that weren't setting up booths there.
Hold your mic up a little more, please.
Okay.
There we go. That's better.
So, we just sat around for a while. Got to know the place. Very expensive day. I bought more than I had planned.
Now, I assume that's all like back issue diving and all that.
Not really. Trades, sketches. We went over to Golden Eagle.
What'd you think of the place? I mean, I think Golden Eagle's like almost like a religious experience, man.
Yeah, I wish it was my local comic book shop.
Oh.
It was great.
Yeah, I'm stuck with Midtown Comics as my local comic book shop, so.
That's midtowncomics.com.
It's the quietest he's ever been. Holy crap. Yeah. All right. Yet again, remember, we are in a hotel room, Raph. Seriously, I will stop this podcast right now if you don't quiet down a little bit, all right? Thank you. Yes. I will shut this right now.
You're at an 8. You need to be at a 3.
They actually did something really awesome, too. They had started the day, the sale at Golden Eagle a day early.
They had a lot of things on sale, yeah.
Yeah, went at the actual place, even though they brought over all these bins, they still had all those back issues to go through, and every single one of them was 50% off. That's really badass.
Yeah, it is.
So what else you do this weekend?
Played some Versus, played some Magic, had some fun, drank a little too much last night at Third and Spruce.
So did everybody.
Yeah. Stayed up way too late.
Yeah, luckily I didn't do that, but at the same time, I kind of feel, for some reason at like 12:15, I was feeling like I was a dead man. I'm not quite sure why, because usually I can stay up until like 2 at these events, but not this time.
Yeah, I think I stayed up till like 3:30.
Oh, great. Terrific. Yeah. At 24, I can't stay up until 2 a.m. That makes me very, very sad, man. That makes me very, very sad. On the next 24, Jack Bauer, yet again, forgets to go to the bathroom.
Jack Bauer gets orally maped. And possibly anally as well.
I feel like Bill O'Reilly here. I feel like screaming out, cut his mic.
The problem is now I have this image of Kiefer Sutherland sitting in the middle of Shady Maple by himself.
For 24 hours
straight.
All right. Here we go. Chloe, I need a schematic. I got to find out how I can get the most bacon at the... Well, we even had some discoveries this weekend, though, at Shady Maple, that Dave had pumpkin spice cappuccino for the first time, and I believe it blew his mind. He had more pumpkin this weekend than I think he's ever had in his entire life. All right, let's move it on to guest number four here. Give us your lovely, lovely weekend summary.
Yeah, I mean, today was good. When I came here last year, I'd only been reading comics for about 4 months, so I was a bit over my head. I walked up to the quarter bins and just sort of nearly fainted. It was close, but I managed to, you know, pull it together.
It's okay,
yeah,
Raph.
Well, you learn it. You live and learn. But, you know, last year I'd only gotten one sketch, which was the Pat Loika free head sketch, which was, of course, of Galactus. And that's a bit of a theme, especially as I was sitting here this morning talking to Katie Cook, and I see Ian walk by in the exact same shirt that I was wearing, both of which is a Galactus shirt.
Okay, all right. So funny story about that shirt, okay? Let me start off on Thursday. So we're there at the Deemer's place on Thursday after checking in and everything, and I'm down in the basement, and there's Wayne Cordova, Radio Wayne, wearing the IE Planet shirt that I absolutely love, that I bought at Mocha last year. Well, not even Mocha. Technically, I just bought it from Diesel Sweeties. And, you know, I'm like, okay, oh, wow, dude, I almost wore that shirt today. I'm glad I didn't, or else we would have been wearing the exact same thing. So, you know, then I put it on today thinking, okay, well, Wayne wore it on Thursdays. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. He's not the type of guy who wears the same shirt twice.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd think that, right? So there I go. I walk into the place, and, well, there's someone else wearing the same shirt as me. And but it doesn't even end there, because I get to the works today and I'm wearing my Flash jacket.
Guess who's wearing
track
your jacket,
Flash jacket? And guess who's wearing my Flash jacket? Fucking Wayne. Wait.
I honestly thought that you guys had, like, switched jackets at some point during the day, and you were just trying to play some kind of joke.
He already posted on Twitter, like, oh my god, I am sci-fi, has my wardrobe.
Wait, you were having sex with Wayne with the same jacket on?
Yes, I was having... No, gee, well, it's
he
a
said
huge
fucking
jacket.
Wayne, I mean, as opposed to Radio Wayne, which,
you know,
is totally different, by the way.
How is it that every single time you're on one of these episodes, you manage to sound worse and worse with your jokes, man?
Because I'm Batman.
Do you realize some people turn off this podcast when you start doing stuff like that?
I'm so proud of that. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you, sir.
Good to hear. But anyway, other than the IE Planets, what else good was going on?
Oh yeah, I finally decided to jump into the whole sketch pool, if you were.
Yes.
Got a bunch of mostly obscure cosmic Marvel characters that nobody had heard of and needed a lot of reference for, which was glad that I got it done ahead of time on the boards. I also made the mistake of picking up the Tori Amos comic book tattoo, not because it's bad, but because I think I could probably knock out my brother with it. That thing is gigantic, and I'm lucky, man. I didn't get the hardcover, because I probably would have broken my back.
Damn.
But I do that anyway.
That's true.
It's a hobby.
Yes, you don't eat babies like Mike Norton. So
exactly.
That's good to hear.
I picked up a couple trades, a couple packages at Wild Pig.
I was just going to ask, actually, you pick up any trades from the Inside Trade booth?
The only one I got was the Tori Amos one, just because I didn't want to kill myself.
Yes, good call.
Or possibly other people. Just by walking around.
Definitely good
call. I
think
it's got some sort of aura.
Well, I was actually kind of surprised. Today, I walk on in today to the event, and, well, there's Rios. He calls me over, and he's like, well, we got something special for you, you know, considering that you've been at every single one of these events, and you seem to never leave. In fact, we found you outside Deemer's house once, just sitting there waiting for the next event. Okay, no, that didn't happen. That was episode 75, just like Bill, when Bill was not you, Bill, but the other Bill, just Bill. Jesus. And Raph yet again keeps forgetting that when the microphone is not on him, all the people hear is Bill. But anyway, so I walk in there, and I'm greeted with a free trade for going to all the events, which is really damn cool. So I picked up Animal Man Volume 2.
There you go. That's the trade you got.
The hell are you even
good
saying?
Choice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And seriously, Raph, try to be normal, okay? I'm honest to God saying that, because I kind of like this to be a real podcast and not just you saying quotes over and over again. Yeah, I know that, but
well, I mean, if you want me to be like normal, my mouth would never move and you just hear my thoughts.
That's fine. I'm talking normal.
Normal.
Yes.
Yes.
Like Garfield.
Because Garfield was awesome, because he loves
lasagna. No, Garfield was very awesome. You're talking about something other than yourself,
he's
so that's
not
good.
Dead. Yeah. So you can't say was. He is. And forever shall be.
Oh, my
awesome.
God.
So. I mean.
Ian, breathe.
Exhale.
In through the nose.
Okay, I'm good.
So my super show went very well. We went to Shady Maple, of course, again, because why wouldn't we? And then we drove to Super Show, and then you got your trades, and Dave got his trades, and I got about 7,000 or 8,000 sketches worth about $10 trillion.
Share the sketches to the people out there. What did you get?
Okay, let's see here. Well.
And talk in your normal voice, please.
This is my voice for the foreseeable future because I can't really go beyond this.
That's fine.
All right, I've got a bitchin' Brock Sampson print because I love Brock Sampson. He'd probably be the only guy I'd sleep with.
Who'd you get it from?
I got that from Dave Dwanch, okay. The very ridiculously awesome Dave Dwanch, who also did a hawk gnome for me.
Excellent.
Yes, that's Hawkman as a gnome.
Brilliant.
Gnome as a hawk.
Okay. see, that I want to see. I'm sorry. All right, what else you got?
I've got the Batman of Zurinar, my personal hero in life. By Eliza, I gave her a napkin sketch of Wonder Woman, which I believe I got the better deal of. From Mrs. Angry Gnome, I've got Jean and White Queen fighting. They're actually fighting mentally, which is totally awesome, while Scott's just like, all I said was three. I didn't even say some, and they just freak out.
Now, did she do this on her own, or was that actually what you suggested?
No, I just said Jean Grey and White Queen cat fight because she said she liked strong women fighting. So I said, no, go ahead.
Excellent.
That was amazing. And then I've got Old School Nova. I've got Thor Schroeder, which is Brad Milo's. That's Brad Milo's birthday sketch, but since he didn't want it, I took it because I am a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
Wow. Wait.
Yeah, I also ate Brad's children afterwards.
Why exactly didn't Brad want it?
Because he's Brad Milo.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Okay, continue.
And then I've got the Andrew Charapart Batgirl. I've got Chad Ciccone, who did a few issues of Mercury and Murd, drawing Murd skydiving, shooting at an invisible menace. I also got Sean Pryor, the writer of Mercury and Murd, to sign it, as well as the actor who plays Murd, Adam Murdo.
Yeah, yes, the actor that plays there. And you could see him this fall on CBS.
In a world. Wrestling.
Yeah. Let's take a moment to honor In a World. Okay, that's good. Okay.
That's good. All right. Okay. And I got a buzz from Sketch.
Oh, you certainly Superman. Got a buzz. Yeah.
Doctor Strange, number 55. I gave it to Buzz. He gave me a Superman. I got from Gland. I got the... He also did the Thor Schroeder or Throater. I got Superman flying in space. Throater.
Throater. Throater sounds like something severely different than that. I'm sorry.
From... Throater.
That sounds like something you get when you stay 5 days.
That's Days In. That's DaysIn.com for all your blowjob needs. From Harold Jennett, I got...
Who is that?
Harold Jennett.
Really?
Harold Jennett.
Oh,
checking your phone. You got a message from Harold Jennett.
Actually, I got a message from Black Sean. He's still at 3rd and Spruce. Depending on how long I stay, I might swing by your room afterwards. So perhaps we might have Sean Pryor on the episode later on. But continue.
Harold Jennett.
Yes. What about Harold Jennett?
He drew me a great sketch of Superman punching out Mr. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Part of my Superman punching out douchebags line. Superman.
See, this is why you need to be serious more often, because you're actually being funny now.
Superman is breaking the second and third by punching Mr. Fantastic through the right side of the paper into the left side, because
beautiful.
Only Superman could do that.
Yes.
And then I've got from Brent Schoonover, who gave me a bitchin' Bucky as Captain America sketch card. He gave me a Wolverine getting punched out by Superman and Superman not getting hurt by adamantium because that's the rules of the universe.
That's not bad. That's
Superman, the best sir.
Excuse me, I have a question for you, Mr. Dandadio. In issue number 3 of Titans, Raven's hair was orangey red instead of reddy orange. Is that her current hairstyle, or was that a coloring error?
Next question, guys. Next question. Listen, Final Crisis did not suck. Don't worry about it. Brian Michael Bendis sucked my bowl. Next question.
Wow, I am funny.
Yeah, what?
What? What? Wow.
I know, yeah. What the fuck is this?
All right. That's about it for this. I'm picking up some more stuff from Erica Hesse, from Mike Norton, from Jamal Igel, maybe some more from Harold Jennett.
Harold Jennett.
Yeah, I also got a bunch of independent comics. Sweet. Marvel and DC can suck it because I get in work at Midtown Comics. That's midtowncomics.com. You can find us on 40th and 7th Avenue and also 45th and two locations.
I'm sorry, you cut out there.
Heroes Corner, Heroes Corner, Heroes Corner, Heroes Corner, Heroes Corner, Reno's Pete, Rios is Meaning, Heroes Corner, Heroes Corner, Heroes Corner.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Rios is Meaning, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
All right, who else got sketches? You get sketches, Chad?
Well, I have I won one of the Andrew Charpar sketches.
Oh, excellent.
He's still working on it for me because I couldn't decide what I wanted, but he's designing my one of my triathlon race t-shirts.
Ooh,
for me.
Ooh, nice.
Can't wait to see that.
Excellent, excellent. Got anything else, or is that it?
No, again, this year, no sketches.
Aw, wah, wah, wah.
I know.
All right. Who else got sketches? Share them now.
I'd rather spend my money on the comic books.
Yes. And yet again, remind people who your voice is, just for the hell of it.
Real Gun speaking here.
Excellent. Hey.
Sexy voice.
Hey. Hello, all you people out there in Radio Land.
Oh, yeah, as I said earlier, I went for the obscure Cosmic Marvel characters, and I enjoyed when I requested Airwalker, the Herald of Galactus, to Andrew Charpar.
Nice.
It took him a couple of minutes to actually figure out who that was.
Okay.
And he had to post a picture of Airwalker to confirm that that actually was Airwalker.
Okay.
So I picked up the Airwalker. I got June Bob Kim to do a Thanos donning the Infinity Gauntlet.
Ooh.
And also I decided this morning that I wanted to get Dave Wachter, who is absolutely incredible, to do me a Galactus sketch, which blew my mind. Really amazing.
Well, the selection of artists at this, you know, even though it's a small convention, was pretty damn amazing. You know, I mean, you were not going to get a bad sketch in the house.
Yeah.
What was your favorite of the bunch so far?
I'm not done.
You're not done. Oh, wow. Wow. Holy crap. Continue.
Yeah,
continue.
I had when I decided to get a sketch from Katie Cook as well, and I know that she loves animals, so I went with Lockjaw, the teleporting dog from The Inhumans.
Nicely done.
And of course, since it was Katie Cook, she decided to draw a little kitten sitting on the tuning fork on top of his head. No, not to my knowledge.
Considering he wasn't talking into a mic, Raph said, did he poop on the dog? And the answer is no. Continue.
Yeah, I also got Harold Jennett.
Ooh.
To do me a Karnak sketch, that would be Karnak of The Inhumans.
Ooh.
Which is yet another sort of very obscure character, because, you know, why go mainstream? And then my last one was Brent Schoonover, who got me a Ronan the Accuser to finish out the Cosmic Suite.
Nice.
If I had to name one, I would probably rather cut off various appendages.
just the important ones, though, right? I mean, nothing too serious.
Well, yeah, you start with the important ones.
Oh, okay, because, all right.
You want to flip it around.
Cut the peenie.
Now, for those of you who couldn't just hear Raph just now, since he wasn't talking into the microphone, he just said, cut the peenie. Okay?
It's funny because I said it.
You know, he was serious for 5 minutes. That's his capacity for serious, all right? It was a good 5 minutes.
Harold Jennett.
Thank you.
So I got my first ever con sketch from
Harold Jennett.
He drew me a very awesome steampunk Batman.
Oh, nice.
And, it's much better than I could have imagined.
Very cool.
I'll be picking up a steampunk Batman from Katie Cook.
Now the steampunk Batman, is that based on the Elseworlds Batman, or was that just a random steampunk? Yes, indeed. We are indeed drinking in this room. For that matter, you know what? Hand me a Yingling. Thank you. This Yingling break brought to you by Yingling. That's right. Yingling traditional lager. When I go for a beer, I go the Pennsylvania way with Yingling.
Heroes Corner.
Hero's Corner, Hero's Corner, Hero's Corner.
Hero's Corner, Hero's Corner.
You know, I'm going to get an email from Sam and Bob after this, and they're going to be, I love you guys, but I really don't want to be associated with Rios' Pini.
That would be the highlight.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But okay, but first off, was that based on the Elseworlds steampunk Batman, or was it just like random?
Just random steampunk.
Okay,
I'm a big
cool.
fan of the steampunk genre.
Excellent, excellent. So. Let me go through my sketches real quick here. I've got a special sketch from Brent Schoonover, actually. I've got the on a brown piece of paper, basically like a brown paper bag, he drew a really awesome Deadpool for me. Yeah, oh my God. Blew me out of the water. Blew me out of the water. Not Harold Jennett, but Brent Schoonover.
Brent Schoonover.
And every time you say that, I think of this Evangelion parody where whenever Gendo walks into the room, they go, "It's Gendo." Oh, baby. All right, anyway.
So, oh, baby, it's Brent Schoonover.
Exactly. So I got myself a Jamal Igel Miss Martian, which is gorgeous. Inked, looks superb. Erica Hesse drew me a current Tim Drake Robin, which looked really badass. And I also got, didn't even ask for it, Jumbob found the birthday sketch he made me in 07. And gave me that one. And there was another Robin, of all things. So I got two Robins at the con. I got... What the hell else did I get? From Mrs. Angry Gnome, I got the Black Adam. And Mr. Angry Gnome gave me Beast. So thank you very much to them.
You should have that checked out if you've got Beast.
Yeah, I know.
It's fatal.
It's very, very dangerous. And I'm going to die in 5 days. Also...
Stay the days in then and get the treatment.
Yes, indeed. I certainly shall. And Dave Dwanch gave me a current Iron Man, which is very much the badass. So I scored. I very much scored. But you wanted to talk about the Rios puppet. So please, the floor is yours, Raph. And yet again, be normal.
But you didn't get anything from Harold Jennings.
No, I did not. No, I did not. I did not yet. It's very possible I might later on. Continue.
Okay, Rios puppet show. Okay, puppet show by Charlito, who was trying to outdo his episode 200 puppet Rios with the Lopini. So he takes a long time to set up, so the anticipation is building. And then he pulls out puppet Rios, and we're all like, yeah, puppet Rios again. And then he pulls out mother effing Brian Deemer as a pupper.
Bryans.
Beaches.
Why do you keep calling me Bryans?
And so he went into this 10-minute musical about how apparently Peter may or may not have a vagina, but he definitely has a uterus. Thanks.
A womb.
Which was told to him by Jorge Perez.
Jorge Perez.
And
just the head. Of Jorge Perez.
And that would be the head that's on top of the neck.
It kind of made me remember.
It took you a while. Yeah. It took you. I know my biology.
You know, it, plus
biology.
The whole thing actually kind of reminded me a little bit of the third rock from the sun with the big giant head. That's all I could think of the entire time.
So, Puppet Brian and... That's so fucking
sweet. Oh, yeah.
Puppet Brian and Puppet Peter record their third episode, and they kind of need more. And so that's when the disembodied head of Jorge Perez.
Quarter in a jar.
Jorge Perez. He comes to Peter and tells him he has a great power. He whispers in his ear. But it sounds like big boobs, rather than the actual secret. So apparently he has a womb, and so Peters seduces Bryans, even though with Tasha standing right there. And they go into the sub-basement of the sub-basement of the sub-basement of Brian Deemer's basement and have vicious, hardcore nerd sex with Peter Rios in the Scarlet Witch outfit, which we all know Peter actually owns.
Yes. Yes, of course. And wears it whenever he can.
So,
For those of you who couldn't hear because Bill wasn't holding the mic, which of course led Raph into a giggle fit of rage.
I just like seeing it on the screen.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So after some rigorous sex that we all had to witness.
I-
Oh, excuse me. Rigorous Puppet Sex.
I'm scarred.
Son of Hulk?
You know... Somehow I have a feeling that the back of this episode is just going to be a loop of Raph laughing. All right. That doesn't mean you have to do it.
Is that enough?
All right, continue.
All right, so we see that Brian's really amazing, powerful sex power has killed Rios, whether it's the size of his penis or just his ability to hump him to death. We don't quite know.
I love that this became the description of Super Show, too. It's like... So what were your favorite moments? So when Puppet Rios had sex with Puppet Brian Deemer, I was on the floor and I was just thinking to myself, you know, this is heaven. This is...
When I die, I want to watch Puppet Rios and Puppet Brian's have sex. Someone was halfway through a sip there.
Yes.
And almost spit beer all over Ian's back. Hence, making his back beer smelling. And, of course, Bill would have a smelly forearm of beer. But that's not so bad because he likes the smell of beer.
So where are you going with this?
All right, Brian kills Puppet Brian's, kills Puppet Rios with his mighty sex prowess. And he goes into a solo. And Peter is dying. Well, Puppet Rios is dying. I think Peter actually kind of almost died, too.
Yeah.
But,
I would die too, to tell you the truth.
and then we that pretty much ends Act One, where Brian's is gonna hunt the disembodied head of Jorge Perez to avenge Peter's death, and possibly the spawn of Rios and Brian's might come out and be spread their geek army of Brian's.
And I believe this will be available on YouTube at one point or another, so you can watch almost the entire thing. Wayne recorded most of it, because I saw eventually he had the camera down, possibly because he was laughing so hard he couldn't keep it steady.
Charlito successfully did what hasn't been done to me in almost 20 years, but has since remained. He cracked my brain in half. Charlito, thank you, and I'm probably...
So what you're saying is that 20 years ago is to blame for why you're currently in this state.
My parents are bred.
For the second time this episode, I have been stumped, and my name isn't even Rios.
What were you humped like Puppet Rios?
Oh, dear Lord. Bill, what was your favorite moment so far?
Besides the gratuitous puppet sex?
Yes, besides the gratuitous puppet sex, because we've been through that. Pupper sex. Pupper.
I guess it was just hanging out with lots of people that knew from the forums. I mean, I've lurked a lot, but hanging out with them, that was pretty cool. Getting to know people.
Posting like 3 times will do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you should post more often, for the God's sakes.
I have a feeling I'm going to after this convention.
I blame him.
Well, keep in mind that the forums are blocked at our work.
Oh.
Which makes it very difficult to actually post.
Yeah, see, and no one at my work has actually blocked anything yet, because I think the... I forgot our tech support got fired, so yeah, that's good for now. If they ever blocked it, though, I think you'd find me in a heap, like, in the fetal position, not knowing what to do with my life.
And then Puppet Brian's would rape you. Not rape you, but actually rape you, since we're on that subject.
Favorite moment so far?
I would probably say just going around getting the sketches. I had seen most of them prior that were already posted on the forums, but, you know, especially once I saw Wactor's Galactus sketch, and I watched Katie color my sketch right in front of me, which was pretty cool. But, yeah, that was probably the highlight, I would have to say.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Chad?
Oh. Come on in.
It's open, unfortunately.
It's Bill!
We have two panics.
Just Bill! Just Bill, for the love of God, man. What's going on?
Ian.
Bill.
The time has come for you to face me in the cage.
Oh, shit.
You've been dodging me long enough, and I'm here to wreak holy vengeance upon you.
Listen, brother. You've been at me for a long time.
Brother, let me tell you. I went to the Hooters, and I saw the Hooters, and they were fine. But there were no seats for my ass. So there was no UFC MMA action for me. So I'm here, brother, to rain down holy terror on you, brother.
I've always wanted to do this for you, Bill. Finally, Just Bill has come back to Comic
timing.
Oh. Well, you know what? You know what? But Raph doing it for you, I think, is good enough, man.
Hold on. I've got something better.
Okay.
Can you smell what just Bill is cooking?
That would be farting.
Is that haggis?
You make lamb intestine filled with stuff.
Well, come on. Let's catch you up a little bit. Grab the mic, Bill.
And then do I need lubricant? What do I do now?
Yeah, like yes,
that?
You do. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good shit.
So it's not even original.
Not even original, no.
baby, I swear it's the first time I've ever done anything like this. I love you, baby. You're special to me.
Yeah, you missed us comparing Shady Maples to rape.
I got early baits.
Your ass just got maped.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, give us your favorite moment.
Favorite moment has probably been the 50-cent boxes at Wild Pig. They were awesome. So many comics were there that normally would be on my pull list, but because of budget constraints, I've passed on. Everything I passed on last year was there. Complete runs of everything. So I'm not buying shit anymore. I'm ready to hit the Wild Pig sale.
I know. I like those boxes, too. I was like, why did I buy this when it came out? I could just wait until it and buy it when it's 50 cents.
You know what? The other big – I can't believe what a success the crap comics trade-a-thon actually turned out to be with just like a week's notice.
My God.
So many people brought so much good stuff. It's true. What is one man's crap is another man's gold. I came out of there with so much stuff that I can't wait to get home with.
Yeah.
And I just know that – knowing what we know now, if we start planning now, it'll be long boxes instead of short boxes of stuff, and it'll be even better stuff and more people involved.
I would like to state for the record that I no longer own any Jeff Loeb Hulks, and I think I'll actually be able to sleep tonight because of that. Back to Bill.
I'm happy that someone apparently really doesn't like Icons Nightcrawler, because I was able to get like the entire miniseries out of that, and that's like the one Icons miniseries I didn't have.
Dude, you want to – some of the things I got out of that trading thing, I got a copy of Godzilla from like 1979 with the Avengers in it. That,
oh,
to me,
nice.
That's gold. That's not crap. Who was throwing that away?
That's magic right there. You don't have to explain it.
A whole run of Man Thing?
Ooh.
Yeah, it was just crazy giant stuff. No, yep. No giant size Man Thing. Just regular old white man's Man Thing.
That is what she said. I actually, when I saw another good one was Sean from BKD Media, his 40 cent boxes. I finally recompleted my 52 run, and actually afterwards I made out with the box for a little bit, felt it up, but I don't think I'm going to call her back.
This is the exact headset I use when I do the drawer box, right?
Uh-huh.
And every time I reach for a comic, somehow or another, I hit this little fucking button and hit mute. And I will talk to myself in my basement for 45 minutes before I realize it every fucking time.
When I was doing the intro to the show, when we first started out, I have a setup here where if you turn off one of the mics, both of them go off. So I'm talking and I'm just, welcome to episode 72 of Comic Talk. And that's it. Thanks to this guy over there.
Bill, I talk to myself for 45 minutes regularly, so it's cool.
And most of the time, he doesn't even realize no one else is in the room.
See, at least you've got a graph there where you can see there's something going on. What I normally do is I'll start Audacity up and then pull up my comic book database because I'm talking about things in the database.
Right.
So I have no freaking clue.
Oh, boy.
That nothing is going on at all until I say, all right, well, I'm going to take a break. I'm a little parched right now, so I'm going to hit pause. Son of a bitch.
See, the three times I haven't checked to make sure that anything was happening, I go back and I realize that it's nothing but Brent talking and my side is totally muted. We lost an entire Wanted discussion that we had to do immediately afterwards again for the second time talking about fucking Wanted because all I heard was, yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah, no, totally, definitely.
Well, see, I don't have that problem. Be the RAF radio with me and it takes care of everything. Zer and R.
You know, I'm happy that you showed up, Bill, so that someone else could talk other than him because, wow.
Well, Nancy let me out tonight. She said, as long as I don't eat too many jelly beans. What was I talking about?
I like turtles.
They pissed me off, so we bombed the shit out of them. Don't worry about it. It's all over by the time I tell you about it.
Good, good.
Do you remember that period in American history where you would wake up on a Monday morning and Ronald Reagan would be telling you all the shit he bombed on the weekend? The Falkland Islands. You don't have to worry about those Falkland Islands anymore. We bought the shit out of it.
When I heard that from Reagan, I shit my pants. Good thing I was wearing a diaper.
Sons of bitches.
I kind of remember that.
I think it was actually Granada. But yeah. I just remember being a teenager and waking up one morning and it was, well, we had a problem in Granada. And don't worry, it's over. We bombed the shit out of them.
Next weekend, Libya.
Just a heads up for you guys.
Next time, we'll spin a wheel and let you pick.
Let's make a deal. Deal or no deal. Granada or not Granada. Bomb or no bomb. But, yeah, no, those 40-cent boxes were great because I was able to get Young Justice number one for 40 cents.
Does he have any more Young Justice?
No. I got his one issue of Young Justice that he had.
No, I'm not going to go grope those boxes. I'm just going to grab an ass and just walk away.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's probably what's going
to
happen.
And Just Bill is yet another person who got to take the honor of getting a free trade on the house of the CGS boys. So what'd you pick up?
Actually, I'm very thrilled by my choice. I picked up the Avengers Defenders War Premier hardcover.
Sweet.
Sal Buscema artwork. Steve Englehart, I believe, was the author of that book.
Nice.
Awesomeness in one little hardcover. It was great.
I decided to go brain fuck, as I said earlier, and I got Animal Man Volume 2.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you read that?
I have not, no.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, I only picked up Volume 1 because of the original CGS Book of the Month thing, and now I need to finish reading it and, you know, actually remember that Grant Morrison can write good stories that don't make my brain explode.
I find Grant Morrison, it works best when he's – the closer you get him to anything remotely resembling mainstream,
mm-hmm.
the worse off he is. JLA, I know a lot of people love that.
Yeah.
It was okay at best for me. And, you know, all this Final Crisis stuff, yeah, I'll wait for the trade.
You know, it was my introduction to JLA, so I think that's why I love it so much. But now that I've read other JLA stories, I can sort of see what you're talking about. Yeah. Go ahead, Raph.
The Raph Radia is evidence that Morrison is awesome.
Wow. That was very insightful there, Raph.
Actually, about 2 months ago, Grant Morrison appeared in a dream and had sex with my ear.
Okay.
I think the second Grant Morrison thing I ever read was The Filth. And, yeah.
So in essence, yeah. To summarize, yeah.
Nuh-uh.
We have a dissenter, ladies and gentlemen. In the center.
I said nuh-uh.
Whatever.
This is the best podcast I've ever been a part of.
Oh, yeah? Well, your mama.
Damn!
What? I'm just talking about your mama.
We can dig it.
Can't argue with that.
All right. You get any sketches while you were here so far?
I'm a cheap bastard. I don't know if you've ever listened to my show, but I repeatedly let everyone know that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's not because I go to the Jew church called The Bank as...
Chaim!
Who was it that pointed that out to you? Was it Mongoose Dog last night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Jew church. What's it called? The Bank?
It's where we keep our stuff.
So anyway, I don't like to spend a lot of money, so I usually pick like one or two to prearrange and have beforehand. And this year I went, same as last year actually, with Charpar, Andrew Charpar.
Uh-huh.
But then I was walking by Citizen Dave's table, and he had a couple of old sketches there that he had marked down. And ooh, it's a sale. I can't pass that up. So I got a really nice Hulk.
Very cool.
From him. What else did I get? I'm drawing a blank. I got a lot of nice stuff this year. More sketches this year than usual.
Okay, cool. And actually, just one other thing that I wanted to ask, and you know, because we already talked about it, Charlito.
That was incredible. Yeah, I mean, the
a special CGS production.
Yeah, to take and add a deity to the mythos that is the Puppet Rios, and have a bodiless floating head that is George Perez. you just Jorge, excuse Jorge. Me, bitches. That was something. That was something that I need to see again. I hope to see the DVD on Netflix soon. The whole production of that, I know he tried to play it off like, you know, some of it was made up on the spot, but he put a lot of time into that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was evident in the songs.
Well, Well, considering that, you know, Jimmy was there with the script.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that. Like, he would drop the wrong one, and they'd be like, oh, fuck.
I was waiting for the Scarlett Rios to actually drop Jamie D out of his underwear. I said, that's why he's wearing underwear. Jamie D's in there. He's coming out at any moment.
That's next year.
Part two. Part three.
Part four. Part 12. Part 12 and a half. Part 15. I'm done. Trapped in a closet, please.
All right, so we're only halfway through this event. We've only done one day. So
yes.
What is left for tomorrow?
Good question, actually. Well, are they doing trivia like they did last year?
You know, they had the gaming area set up, but somebody took that over for something.
Yeah.
There was no room for games.
Bastard. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. There was one table I left alone, and somebody did try and play some verses over there. But for the most part, it was crap. Comics trade-a-thon.
Bill number two, how'd you enjoy your verses at least?
Well, this is my second time ever playing the game, so I got schooled a lot, but it was fun. There's all these comics that kept falling over on me, though.
Explain it to me a little bit, because I've never actually played verses.
Superheroes fighting each other? I think Realgun can explain it better. He's the one that taught me.
Go ahead.
It's your standard collectible card game. Elements of magic, elements of various other things. It's better than all of those things.
Yes, it is.
It's probably the best card game ever made.
Yes, it is.
I spent the last 2 years of my life every Sunday playing it with friends. Raph apparently agrees with me, even though we've only really talked twice.
I agree.
Total.
I agree with that statement.
Yes. Yeah, so I will be there all day tomorrow, even though anyone who hears this podcast, it will
Sunday,
not be
Sunday.
But anyone who wants to learn verse, just come find me.
Sunday.
All right, I'm afraid I have to leave now. I've just discovered, much to my chagrin, that someone here is actually reading Brand New Day. Who brought this affront to all comics history into this room? Rat bastard.
Hey. Not only did I just put out our Review Corner episode where we did one of the Brand New Day episodes, but that's one of the issues that Mr. Raph Suhu brought to me with his lovely little store discount on the way over here.
Bill, you missed it. He actually made out with that book.
It was hot. It was.
Yeah, you did. You've got Jew DNA all over you.
I'd go wash your hands.
Levin Splooge.
Levin? Wait. So you can't have your splooge at Passover?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I'll be here all night tipping goddamn waitresses.
I need to shake your hand for that one.
Don't shake his hand. You don't know where it's been.
I have never. I've only had unleavened splooge.
Okay, I'm very glad to hear it. I'm gonna go around the room once Bill talks. Go ahead.
All right. Quick question. This is my first experience with podcasting in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Have you ever been actually thrown out in the street for this?
Not yet, but I think we're close.
Okay. Because when I forgot what hotel room you said you were in, so I decided to go at the end of the hall and work my way down just listening. There's some crazy shit going on the second floor here. There's people, old people that have nothing to do with us, up walking dogs and shit. And I'm like, I almost walked into the wrong room.
Wait, serious?
Yeah. Everybody on this floor is up.
Oh, my God.
And I'm wondering if it's because of what's going on in this room.
It's very possible, or this just could be the floor where if the door's knocking, don't bother knocking.
I apologize.
Rockin', knockin'. Rockin'. Damn it, I said the same thing twice. If the door's rockin', don't bother knocking. That's better.
You had too much leaven splooge.
Oh, what have I done? What have I done?
Only 364 days a year. Don't worry.
All right, well, I'm actually going to ask a serious question for once. How does the mood compare to a bigger convention for this one? I mean, this is the first time that they've actually been in the convention center for this. It's a big change, a big development. How does the mood compare?
Not applicable.
Yes.
The only other major convention I've ever been to was I went to Wizard World Philly this year.
Okay.
It's obviously on a different scale, you know. It's smaller. There's pretty much only your standard tables that are mostly artists and a couple of vendors, but I mean it's still the same thing, just on a smaller scale. You know, you still have everybody just sort of browsing around, seeing what's there. You've got that sort of open community where you can just walk up and they're not going to brush you off. And that's what I like about every convention. And that was that was still the case here. And that's what's important, I think, at the end of the day.
there seem to be a lot more friendlier people here. I don't know. Like, I mean, it, again, that comes with a smaller atmosphere, but it felt like almost like I was at Cheers where everybody knows your name. Yes, my forum name. I am Sci-Fi.
Well, I went to 300 last year, and I was – I mean, I had still had like 6,000 posts at that point, so people knew who I was.
And now everyone does.
Well, no, here's the thing. I mean, last year, you know, despite my nature as the craziest person in comics, I was a little uncomfortable around people. I didn't know what to say. I mean, you know, some people like Bill, they came up to me to just sort of welcome me in, which was cool. But this year, I mean, to have my own goddamn forum thread welcoming me. All right, me so sorry.
Yeah, yeah. How many Armageddon Daredevils have you done so far?
17,000.
How many have you really done?
4.
Okay, good. Just checking there. but continue what you're
anyway,
saying.
Anyway, so to have someone start a thread saying, "I can't wait to meet Raph," which is not true. He said Wraithmaker, but who gives a shit? Is the most humbling and awesome experience. And to, you know, can I go into a panel at New York Comic Con, jump up and go, "Asian power"? And not get kicked out. I mean, that is amazing. Yeah, that the crap that you people let me get away with. This is the reason why I love Super Show more than, because you people are so stupid for listening to me. What the hell is wrong with you all?
Security will be warned next year.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And who's the stupidest one? The one who rooms with you, okay? The one who had to stay with you 4 days.
That would be Ian Levinson, the Comic Timing Podcast, who is sponsored by Heroes Corner. That's heroescorner.com. If you enter the code CTROCKS and you're a first-time user, you can get an additional 5% off. Check out this month's specials, which include Daredevil and Just Phil. Just Phil is interrupting the promo.
I'm sorry, I was about to say goofy aliens, but it's actually goofy oriental people.
Me so sorry, me Rekka to speak English. Because the Amish Daredevil likes to churn butter because he can't raise a barn because he's blind! If you're out there in podcasting land, this forever kills the myth that Raph isn't funny. He is a funny son of a bitch. And I'm going to buy him a drink the next time I see him.
Chad doesn't even want the mic anymore.
I broke Chad Burnett. Who else can I break?
The point is, it's not June Bob Kim. I don't know who this kid is, and he's kind of scaring me. He keeps screaming, "Asian power and my parents are dead." I don't understand anything he's doing.
Don't forget Zurinar.
Zurinar.
I'm sorry, what?
Is he cute? Why? Are you looking for a little loving? All right, well... All right, well, get over here, and then you can ask him about his, you know, relationship issues when you get here. All right.
206.
Apparently there are no cigarettes smoked in this room, but there is cock smoked.
Fist of Justice.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Let's actually hand it over to Chad now and ask the question that I asked him. How's it compare to a bigger con?
I haven't been to a bigger con.
How's it compare to stories you've heard about bigger cons?
I went to the Albany Con, and that was like really small, and this was 100 times better.
Actually, that does lead me to ask the question. But all right.
Chad Burdett.
Chad. And when he says your name, I think of that commercial for.
That's not your name. What's your forum name?
Unknown fanboy.
Own your slave name, please.
But, all right, Chad.
Unknown
Chad,
fanboy.
Chad.
That's not you,
Bucky. Oh my God! Come on, join the party. Join the party.
Mike and Bowden, I write Fist of Justice for Digital Webbing.
Excellent. A man who's been stuck behind a table most of this weekend so far. Correct?
Yes.
And tell us what is Fist of Justice?
The best indie superhero comic that you probably haven't read yet.
I haven't read it yet, but I do have an issue.
Is it about a Bronze Age hero trapped in the modern age? A man out of time. A patriotic hero. He may sound familiar to you, but you know what? It's not who you think. It's Fist of Justice. And you know, fisting, it can hurt. So...
And Bill Hughes would know about fisting. You should see if you've ever seen.
If you, my slave name. It's
just Bill. If you've ever seen Goatsy, that's Bill.
We're almost there. We're almost there.
And kosher semen.
But talk about the weekend a little bit. How you been enjoying it? How you been? How's it been going business wise?
Pretty good considering I don't know most of the people here from the forums. I'm kind of an outsider as far as the whole family of the CGS listeners go, but everybody's been treating me pretty well. I can't complain. It's been, for me, it's an average show, which is good considering nobody knows me. So, hey.
I guarantee you, by the time you get home, you're going to have a forum name. You're going to have 100 posts.
Yeah, I know. That's probably true. And I'll have to reply to all of them because that's the kind of guy I am.
Once you get started, there is no turning back.
So I hear.
So how'd you find out about the Super Show anyway?
Pretty much through Bill. Just Bill, sorry.
Oh, yes, that's better. Yeah.
And a couple other guys, Ken Hazer and Buzz Hassan, they do Living Corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Good buddies of mine. I wrote an issue for them. They did the show last year and said how fun it was. And they said, you know, hey, you really should do this show. So, of course, I show up and do the show, and they're not here. So, you know, what's that say?
Well, they're going to be here tomorrow, right?
They will be. I'm actually, as a matter of fact, I just got a text from Buzz. He said they're leaving Jersey at 7 in the morning, so they'll be here probably by 9 or 10 o'clock.
Okay, good, good, good.
So all you Corpse fans will get all your free sketches that you want.
What can we be the torrential downpours of stops, and I'm not going to have to worry about flooding or anything?
Well, that was the excuse that they weren't here. They said it was like a tsunami out there, and I said, well, you know, the rain stopped around like 6 or 7, so it was a good excuse. You know, hey, whatever works.
Sean and Jim of Raging Bullets, I believe, left around 5 a.m. from Ohio and first got here, what like 2 in the afternoon or something like that because of the rain. So it was kind of a bitch to travel today.
I mean, it was really heavy rain, I guess pretty much throughout the whole area right here along the coast and like, what, maybe about 100 miles in, 200 miles.
Something like that, yeah.
It's a valid excuse.
Yeah, and pretty decent turnout for the rain, too.
Yeah. I mean, I was very impressed with the number of people that I saw here today. I mean, there's definitely a very dedicated group of people that listen to the show. And, hey, if you don't listen, you're probably not hearing this anyway. But, you know, you should listen. So, hey, you know, what can I say? I mean, I would listen, but I have worse than dial-up in the boondocks where I live, so podcasts are, like, way out of the question.
So you've got, like, 14.4 going, right?
It's like the old, yeah, but really, I still have a modem.
Those are the things that go, back this up, modem?
Yes, not Modoc, but Modem.
What is that? Like, let's see, made only.
Modulator,
demodulator. Oh, all right.
Yeah, leave it to Just Bill to come in with the geeky phrase and the technology shit.
Would you stop making fun?
I'm sorry. Seriously. Sorry. But we know how special you really are.
I'm special.
What have I gotten myself into?
Good question.
I was eating animal crackers and watching Anne Hathaway in some movie, and all of a sudden,
and now you're here.
Now I'm here. So,
yeah, okay. You made a big mistake. Trust me.
Well, I thought there was Jewish and Chinese porn. So, you know.
And we are not starting any of that here, okay? Trust me.
I'm leaving if you do.
I'm leaving if I do.
I'm staying.
So
that's why I showed up.
So have you been to bigger cons before? Have you done bigger cons before?
Oh, yeah, I've done New York a couple years, last couple years. Okay. Baltimore every year. Charlotte, Heroes Con. I hesitate to say Pittsburgh nowadays, but Pittsburgh.
Right. It might happen next year, maybe.
It might happen, but as far as, you know, they've taken money for tables, but the last I heard was that the Expo Mart wasn't doing shows anymore. Yeet. They were either tearing it down and renovating it, or the new management just wasn't going to put on shows like that. So,
yeah, great.
Who knows what's going on with that one?
Well, it's like I'm scared too that they're apparently going to be tearing down at some point the entire Baltimore Convention Center and rebuilding it from the ground up. They've been talking about this for the past couple of years, and apparently, like a year or two from now, that's what's going to be happening. So I don't even want to know what's going to happen to all the conventions that happen there.
If it's not posted on the forum, I don't know about it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You get all your news from there. So right now you think that Sarah Palin is a man, right?
She's not.
That picture of her with the holding the gun is pretty hot, though.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Does anybody else think that she is the spitting image for Tina Fey?
She does look like Tina Fey. I was wondering, you know, when I first saw her, I was like, oh, my God, she is so hot. I could jerk off to that all day. And then, yeah, there is, as a matter of fact, there is somebody right now with, oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, your future vice president. Oh, God.
Exactly. And then it dawned on me that, holy shit, that's Liz Lemon. So, you know, hey, whatever works. You know, it'll be nice to see her back in Alaska in a couple months, but, you know. Hey, whatever happens, happens. Well, you know, I'm just, you know, wasn't she like a Miss something or other? So she was into modeling when she was younger.
Not only that, but she was a sportscaster.
So, but with the modeling thing, there's got to be naked pictures somewhere, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know there are.
They found the sports casting footage, and I mean, that was like incredibly hard to find. And they took it down from YouTube, but I think Gawker ended up putting it up on their website to download. So, like, I got to do that the minute I get home and just make sure I have a copy of it somewhere.
So you can whack off to it.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, right. No, she had 80s hair. No, thank
you. But in Alaska, do they have sports in Alaska?
Yeah, curling.
Curling and, like, dog racing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Ice
and
fishing.
And hockey.
Funny you should mention that because in the report they're talking about the Iditarod. So,
well, see, there you go. That's she could do my rod.
Well, going back to the original question I was going to ask you, how does a small con like this compare to the bigger ones like New York?
To be honest, being an indie guy like myself, I prefer smaller shows like this because the big shows you kind of tend to get lost. You know, big shows are about big publishers, big things, big, you know, big movies, big so on and so forth. And smaller shows, you know, you get there's more. And it was said a lot today during the show that they did. Family, friends, you know, close-knit community. And that's really what it was. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, people like me, the indie guys, we kind of thrive on that because
right. It's
easier to build a fan base with people you can actually talk to.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely.
And New York and places like that, you know, they're there. You know, to get the latest hot sketch, mm-hmm. you know, from whoever, or, you know, they're not there for comics.
Right, right.
You know, they're there to get the flavor of the week.
And here we're here for conversation, and we actually buy your shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yes, definitely.
And how many copies of Fist of Justice did you walk away with today?
One.
You know there are like 8 that you could buy, right?
Shut up!
You, Oriental. How many copies of Fist of Justice do you have in your bag?
No speak English.
So you're gonna take care of that tomorrow, right?
No. Awesome. I saw him running around with a little red cape today. He asked me a few times, but he didn't buy it. I am sorry.
Just let's take the full advantage of this situation here, and why don't you tell us, the audience, a little bit about Fist of Justice and why we should all be reading it.
Well, you should be reading it because if you're tired of shit like magic that doesn't need to be explained, that totally undo a whole, you know, a beloved character's continuity.
God damn it, I like Brand New Day.
Well, you know, all right, no, Brand New Day, it's not bad. Now, I will go on the record of saying it's not bad. It's like a vacation. You have a nice vacation, and, you know, the vacation itself is really, really nice. It's, you know, you have a good time. But getting there really sucks balls. And that's what it was.
One more day was like a root canal, and brand new day is the relief you have to get that tooth out of your mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's, yes, we've read these stories with the wheat cakes and living in Aunt May's house and all that kind of shit. So, okay, yeah, we've been there, done that. But aside from that, the storytelling itself is actually, it's a lot more entertaining than when Straczynski was on there.
But I sidetracked you. Talk about your book a little bit.
No, I don't mind. Okay. But no, if you're tired of that kind of stuff, but you like superheroes, you like the 70s kind of stuff, you like a nice story that doesn't need to be, you know, $3.99 for a book and you're only getting, you know, 1/6 of a story,
right. We're
not doing that. We're telling old school type of stories where everything, at most, it's continued into the next issue.
Excellent.
And we follow the old school line of you have like your A plot, your B plot, and your C plot, and you go with one, you touch on the other two, and then when the, you know, A plot's done, you move B up to that slot, and you just keep going like that. So it's a lot easier to follow. You don't need to have all the issues to follow what's going on, but of course we like it when you do buy them all.
Well, yes.
So, I mean, that's...
that's really the thing. I think it's if you're looking for something different, but it's a little bit of the same, something familiar, you know. And I think the little catchphrase that I threw at Bill that he liked was old school, new attitude. So
wheat cakes with blueberries.
Yeah, okay. or just straight up pancakes.
Right, right. Okay, Raph wants to say something. Raph, speak. Speak, boy, speak.
What are wheat cakes?
All right, so meanwhile, first off, give your website to everybody out there just in case we forget.
You can either go to Fist of Justice, F-I-S-T-O-F, justice.com,
okay.
Or you can just go to digitalwebbing.com.
Excellent.
And find links there.
Sweet. But meanwhile, a Jew, an Asian, and a black man walk into a bar. Get over here.
If that's not the setup for a joke, I don't know what is.
Are we back to the almost having the Power Rangers?
Yes, we're back to almost having the Power Rangers. All we need is like a really, really, really stupid girl, and then we're good.
There were no stupid women at our convention, sir.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Exactly. Fuck, then we're screwed. All right, Sean Price. Sean-
hey, I met Buffy tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Not Buffy the Vampire.
Oh, yeah,
Slayer,
yeah, yeah.
Buffy,
Buffy
from the Fixer's Hideout.
Yeah.
Vampire Lair. She wanted to go to Hooters. She said she'd lead the way with hers. I'm saying she's in my top 10 now.
If Just Bill says it, it's official.
Oh, it's certainly official. It's certainly official. All right. Yeah, you can sit your ass down. Don't worry about it. Move my shit out of the way. So, all right. Yeah, and of course, like any days in bed, once you sit down on it, you basically become the bed.
Oh yeah. Literally, as soon as I sat on the bed last night, it sunk in like a foot.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But Sean Pryor, we had him on for a quick interview before. Let's have him on for a little longer here. Give us your rundown of the day.
A rundown of the day. We had a very successful day. I honestly, in a million years, would never have imagined it going like this. All of our pre-sales were picked up today.
Great.
We had people out of the blue stop by and say, I see you. Thank you, Ray. Thank you. I appreciate
see,
you.
It,
I do.
You know, I like how he treats him like a retarded boy. You know, like that's very good, Raph. Here, have a cookie. Have a cookie. No, good, no, good boy.
Here's my goddamn cookie. You'll get it tomorrow, sir. You're welcome. But
actually, we have cookies right over there if you want any pumpkin cookies.
Oh,
but all right,
just let them
talk.
Go ahead.
But no, we had a lot of people stop by saying that they heard about Mercury and the Murd on CGS and other podcasts, and they wanted to buy the books, and it literally blew me away. And we had a bunch of 40-cent comic books, stuff from the 80s to current times that we had out there, and a lot of people bought those too, and that's going to keep us, you know, keep us funded for a while and able
like
to make
Ian.
More books. Yes, you helped me out tremendously, sir.
Hey. Yet again, we can't hear you, Raph. Yet again, Raph. Microphone, Raph. Microphone. It's your friend.
I made out with one of your boxes, Sean.
Why would you have a group podcast like this and have him in the room and only have two mics? I mean, right out of the gate, you know, he needs one right up his nose or something because he's not going anywhere
else. You know what? Honestly, if Juan was here with his extra mic, then I think we'd be even better off. But that's very
but
true.
See, I think Raph is the new age internet Ed McMahon. I really want you.
You are correct, sir.
I want you to think about it. I go to stop by to go see Jamal Igel because I wanted to shake his hand, you know, because I thought he did a really great job on Firestorm.
Yeah, which he did.
And who do I see sitting at the table next to Jamal Igel? Raph is sitting next to Jamal Igel with a cape, drawing napkin sketches, you know, and just talking to Jamal like shop buddies. And I'm like, what the hell?
Are you guys like best friends or something? Because if I were Jamal, I would be calling security at some point.
Okay,
I'd be calling Peter Rios over, get rid of the Oriental.
Here's
I don't
how it
know
works.
If he knows Kung Fu, but he's scaring the shit out of me.
Here's how it works. Jamal Igel made a big mistake, okay? He appeared on Geeks Unite. And once you appear on Geeks Unite, Raph thinks you're family. So even though Jamal Igel barely knows the guy and has met him like four or five times, now Raph is like humping his leg, and it will never end.
The sad thing was is I didn't know that was Jamal Igel at the table. I kept wondering, why does Raph have a table? Did he really spend money on a table just to do napkin sketches? And who is this And who is this dude next to him?
Well, and obviously the table was sponsored by Midtown Comics.
Well, what amazed me is that, like, I was at a convention with a table, and I wasn't the only black dude that had a table. That blew me away. Honestly,
yeah.
It blew me away because when it comes, and I'm not going to start on a rant or get on a soapbox, but
right.
We all know when it comes to minorities and comic books in general, there's not a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's not.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit, because one thing I've noticed in fandom in the recent years is we as a community thought for a long time that minorities weren't represented in comics and therefore they weren't reading them. But what we see when we actually go to these shows and we get online is that's not true. You look at the Fixer's Hideout. You look at you look at Maxim Glory. You look at Derek Coward. There is a large percentage of minorities out there reading and enjoying comics. And I don't even want to talk about the Orientals because, you know, they'll just, like, throw some chop suey shit at you and just
break the ball. Yeah, literally chop suey.
It's all fried rice in my pocket right now. You want to go?
But my point is that clearly there's been an audience, you know, with minorities for a long time that's been neglected. And Milestone coming back, we may see that may be the savior that we're all looking for from Robert Kirkman to save comics. It may be Milestone.
All right. Yeah. You know what? Somehow everything ends up talking about the Kirkman shit at some point, but say what you're going to say, then if you want to touch on the Kirkman shit, by all means.
Oh, no. It's just been a great show. It's been a great experience. Everybody's been real cool to me, you know, been real nice to me, talked to me. I talked to everybody else. It's wonderful.
Well, not to put my head up your ass, but you're a nice guy. In all seriousness, I mean, you're a very approachable person.
You know, my family always told me it's easy to be an asshole,
mm-hmm.
but it's harder to be a nice person.
Right.
And it takes work and dedication. That's just something, it's just a part of me. That's who I am.
It's hard to be an asshole, too. I work hard. I practice. I in front of a mirror at night sometimes, I practice my, fuck you, man. And, you know, it's hard.
Actually, funny you should mention that. Funny story, because you should see what Raph said in his sleep, okay? All right? Because he'll just be here, and you'll just hear him going, fuck, shit, damn it, fuck, cuntsucker, mother licker.
And one last thing, and then I'll stop bogarting the mic here. Why is there no Just Bill in any of your comics yet? You've got everybody and their mother in there. And here I am. The greatest voice in all of podcasting.
Oh, I
can you smell what Just Bill is cooking?
Is that bologna?
It's J-U-S-T. My bologna has a second name. It's B-I-L-L.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. Yeah, it doesn't really work.
That didn't work, Raph. It did not work. No.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It
doesn't work. Just ignore him. Just ignore him. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You know, I'm slowly trying to find ways to implement, you know, forum users, some more of the CGS people. When we had issue 5 of Mercury and the Murd, Shane Kelly has an appearance in it. Jamie D's the big bad in issue 5. But you know what? I will try my best to find a way to get you in a book.
Hey,
seriously.
Hey, like I said, man, if they need a lawyer, all right, I'm a Jew, so it's easy enough to put that in there, or like an accountant maybe, or something like that, or maybe a dentist.
There's
a lot of Jewish dentists.
I can see it now. One panel, and it would just say, like, he'll be on television being interviewed from somebody. It'll say Ian Levenstein, Jewish lawyer.
But I don't work on Sundays or Saturdays because, yeah.
But no, honestly, this has been a pleasant experience. I can't wait for tomorrow, and I really don't want it to end. I don't, seriously, no bullshit.
No, none of us do. I mean, honestly, I've been here since Thursday. The only reason I want it to end is so that I can sleep in a room without Raph. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I've been having the time of my life, really.
Harold Jennings.
Anytime anyone says Harold Jennett,
yes,
Talia needs to be right behind that, okay?
And for some reason, I think Harold Genitalia Al Ghul.
Because she's the Death's daughter.
Once again... As I said on Thursday night, can I buy some crack from you?
All right. All right, all right. You're going to make me fucking piss my pants, man, all right? What time did you leave from the works?
From the works? We left the works at about 10:30-ish, something
so
like that.
So you didn't see the fight?
Oh, well, no, actually we saw the tail end of the fight. He did. I didn't see it, but okay. We saw the police coming, yeah. Yeah. Explain to the people why we're never going back to the works.
Okay, well, first off, okay, I live in Kentucky. Before I lived in Kentucky, I used to live in Cincinnati at a place called Dave & Buster's, which is similar to the works.
Yeah, we have them in New York also. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Aren't Dave & Buster's really nice?
Yes, you
know,
they are.
For the
yeah.
most part,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're nice.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, the video
game. Take your family there.
Oh, yeah. You could, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but, you know, the works is just, it's just straight bantha poo-poo. It's yeah. awful. I did not like it at all. You know, the service was bad. The video, you know, give me at least one video game. I'm not talking about the Ms. Pac-Man Galaga combo box. That's standard. You know, just give me something, you know, other than trying to win tickets.
Yeah.
I don't think they had enough video games where you shot zombies.
Yeah, please. Well, okay. No, this is my favorite. Not only did I have House of the Dead 4, they also had House of the Dead 3. So why don't they just do the whole, like, all four of them in the same fucking place? And then have Time Crisis 1, 2, 3, and 4.
They did have a bowling alley.
Yeah, well, you know, the fake bowling. The fake.
Oh, well, hold on. Well, they were fake.
That happened to be the Maryland State sport that is duck pin bowling. It's not fake
duck
bowling.
Pin bowling.
It's just not 10 pin.
Duck pin bowling?
The Maryland State sport is jousting.
It used to be duck pin bowling.
And black people used to be slaves.
And then the Emancipation Proclamation happened, and now we are all free.
All right, you know what? Motherfuckers continue to bowl. When was the last time you saw an asshole on a horse with a big-ass stick? Okay?
All you gotta do is come by my house any Sunday night.
You know what I love about shows like this? I don't even have to say anything.
What happened was this really bad band was playing.
Oh yes, they were terrible.
This is the upstairs yeah. band. Okay,
yeah.
This was the $8 cover charge band.
The people that started off with like covering. Take on Me.
Yes.
Then move to Linkin Park's Bleed It Out.
Yes.
And then
without a transition.
And then they went to like Michael Jackson covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a rule. I have a general rule. If you're gonna do a Justin Timberlake cover or a Michael Jackson cover,
yeah.
If you can't sing, just shut the fuck up and just play the music and
yeah.
don't sing.
Please.
That's just a general
Please.
Rule.
Yes.
And see, I have this other rule too.
Mm-hmm.
Belle Biv DeVoe's Poison is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Okay.
Just Bill did not just do the Michael Jackson. He just did not do that.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, my God.
Why are we not filming this? Seriously.
That.
Good. fucking YouTube right there, ladies and gentlemen. YouTube.
Okay, make a long story short. They're right. still playing bad music, and I guess somebody got testy with the bouncer and punched the bouncer in the face 4 times.
Oh.
So then that led 3 of the other bouncers to grab the guy that punched the bouncer and
yeah.
like hold him down on the ground.
Ooh.
So when I saw, I was like, yeah, it's time to go. So I'm taking off and I'm heading out and I leave out the arcade and I see 3 more bouncers coming. And 2 of them are putting gloves on, acting like they're about to get this dude a cavity search.
God damn.
So then I'm like, oh, this is going to get bad. So I get out the front door.
Uh-huh.
2 police officers are coming up.
Okay.
Okay, I'm like, oh, this is going to get even worse.
Uh-huh.
So then I leave because I went to go stop by 3rd and Spruce for a little bit.
Yeah.
I see 2 more police cars coming.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, we're never going
yeah.
back there again.
Well, can I also say, worst fucking wait staff I've ever seen in my life. And I mean worst.
Any opinions on that?
Anybody? Anybody? Go ahead.
Just Bill and I got there right after the show, like about, what, 6:20, 6:30? And we had, I mean, maybe we were like the anomaly of the night, but we had a decent waitress.
Oh, yeah, you had the same server we did. She was cool.
In the restaurant portion, yeah. the restaurant portion, it was fine. But once we went upstairs, every person that I talked to was complaining and waiting for food.
Well, okay. The waitress we had, she had this scowl on her face that reminded me of Chloe O'Brien from 24. Like she had this, she had this potato face thing going. Like whenever Jack asks her to do anything and she doesn't want to do, she gets this like blow up thing. Like, and she was walking around with that the entire time. She comes and takes our orders. She seems annoyed that we're ordering something. And then when I just say crab cakes, I meant to say crab cake sandwich. She goes to me, turns as she's taking Raph's order. She says, You know, you get two sides with that. And then walks off.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. By the way, never got forks. We never got forks. We had to ask a different waiter just to get fucking forks.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So never fucking going back to this place again. I mean, I had a bad experience last year, but this was worse.
If you'd went in the restaurant area, you probably would have been better off.
Oh yeah.
No, we all had good service in the restaurant area.
Okay.
Seriously, right. No lie.
So why don't they just get rid of the rest, please, for the love of God?
Yeah. I'd have to agree. $8 cover charge to get into a place, to get into a generic Dave and Buster's. That's just jukey. That's extremely jukey. I'm sorry.
You know, I did it all for the jukey.
What's even worse is if they're charging $8 for a cover charge for a band that's playing, what'd you say, Aha, and going straight to Limp Bizkit?
And they're doing it all Blink-182 style.
Oh. Yeah, I think there's an unwritten rule for all you garage guys out there. You don't do that. You don't fucking do Aha, followed by Limp Bizkit. There's got to be some transition.
That was probably the Kenny Loggins.
if they would have been like, I'm all right, ain't no need to worry about me. If they'd have done that shit, I would. That'd have been, oh, Jesus.
That's it. You officially have a better voice than the guy who was saying it.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's not bad.
Yeah, wow, dude.
That's 5 years singing in the church choir.
All right.
Not reading a book, just sitting there, just humming the whole time.
I went to synagogue. All right. Go ahead. I got a feeling that's all you were going to say, so go ahead. Yeah. Let me go back to comics. I asked our lovely friend over there this question before, so I'm going to ask you this now. How's this compare to the bigger conventions? Stuff like New York Comic Con, Baltimore Comic Con, that sort of stuff.
Okay, only Comic Con I've been to this year was the other Comic Con I had a table at, and that was the Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Okay.
And that was a real bad show. This is a real bad show for two reasons this year. It was bad for two reasons. One, it came a week after New York Comic Con, mm-hmm. which was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough because you had the choice. I believe that you could do that. There's no way I could afford that. There was just no feasible way for me to afford it. So I was just like, well, I'm still going to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Well, you had people that went to New York said, well, I'm not going to Pittsburgh. And then after that whole debacle with... we know the whole murder thing or whatever.
Yeah,
that carried over to
Pants got on the video. All right, okay.
You know, you add that onto, and then that didn't really help the situation either. So, but the thing is, this show compared to cons, this show people talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
People go to tables. You know, people say hi. You know,
yeah.
You know, and the thing is, with tables at like any convention, I know at Pittsburgh, you know, I didn't try to push anything on anybody. If you wanted a book, cool. If you wanted to talk to me, cool. If I say hi, you know, I'm not asking you to buy nothing. You know, but if you want to buy a book, fine.
Son of a bitch. I bought that package because I thought it was the only way we could be friends.
You spit in my eye on Thursday.
All right. Yeah. Well, hold on. Let's run through the things Raph has accidentally done to you this weekend. Okay.
I just remember being spit in the eye, and I've officially been blessed by Raph, and my life has never been the same. Yes, I've been raftized. Yes.
You know, you're going to be sitting in bed after this is all over with, and all of a sudden you're just going to say to yourself, "My parents are dead."
No, start around 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll just start chanting, "Harold, Janet, Harold, Janet." No, this is a very, you know, fan friendly, people friendly, yeah. family friendly type, you know, convention.
Well, honestly, and please stop whipping that. Thank you. I go to anime conventions and I go to comic conventions. At an anime convention, you go into the artist alley of an anime convention and you think you just walked into like prison because they all look so depressed and sad. They're giving you these puppy dog eyes. Like, if you don't buy my stuff, I'm going to go home and I'm going to weep for the next 5 weeks. You know, at a comic convention, at least people manage to put smiles on their face and you know, talk you up a little bit. But at a small convention like this, everybody's family.
It's family, and everybody's doing it for the love.
Right. Yeah.
You do it for the love of comics. You do it for the love of art.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
You seriously should have seen the artist alley though at Anime Next this year, because I'm not even joking. It was in the basement. They put it in the frickin' parking lot of the convention center. So they might as well have been chains.
I just want to clarify. Mike and Bowden is not doing it for the love of comics. He's doing it for the chicks.
And Raph is obviously doing it for the chicks as well.
What's anime?
Anime is this Japanese animation stuff.
What are Japanese?
Japanese are the people that aren't you.
That's a lot of people. That's like 6 billion people that aren't me. That cocaine? It's a hell of a drug. It's just, I step on your couch, Charlie Murphy. What you gonna do now, Charlie Murphy?
Dude. Do you seriously want us to get kicked out?
Yes.
Okay, in closing, seriously, thanks once again for stopping by the table.
Dude, no question.
You know, the interview was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. This is really cool meeting you this weekend, no lie.
No problem, man. I mean, your ass is getting back on the show more often.
Yeah, it was better meeting Just Bill.
That's fine, because it's always better to meet Just Bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, seriously, all you guys, no lie, no bullshit, have been real cool, and I do appreciate that. You know, regardless of whether you bought a book or not, I'm serious. Y'all are really, really cool people, and I'm glad all y'all came.
Well, I think that's the best way to really end this right here, that you know, on that sentiment. So I'm going to go around the table. Anybody who wants to pimp a website, do it right now, and we'll wrap this baby up.
www.pkdmedia.com. We're going to rebuild the site soon so it doesn't suck.
Yay.
Because the joke kind of hit its heyday on your show, I think it's also fair that I announce – because so many people have come up to me this weekend and announced to me that they didn't realize that the podcast actually existed now.
Oh,
I am serious. At least 7 people came up and said, you know what? I just figured out this week that you are actually recording a podcast.
You hear that, Brent? It's a fucking truth, man.
It's real. Just Bill's Comic Book Drawer Box exists. I wish I could tell you the URL, but I've been drinking all night. If you go to John Mayo's website, there might be a link there because he hosts everything. Just go on iTunes and search for Just Bill.
Isn't it comicbookpage.com/JustBill?
Actually, it's the reverse. I think it's
www.justbill.comicbookpage.com. Okay,
right.
Cool. Awesome.
And yeah, John Mayo hooks me up with the web space and all that, so I don't have to do anything but talk.
Yes, and John Mayo, friend of the show. Definitely friend of the show.
Mentioned earlier, fistofjustice.com, digitalwebbing.com. You'll find all kinds of good stuff there.
Excellent. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, Raph, obviously. Sadly.
It's never sad when you close the show with me.
I beg to differ, sir.
Just wanted to quick throw out, I'm part of a group comic review blog.
Oh, cool.
A bunch of Versus System players got together and we created a blog.
Nice.
So if you go to readrant.wordpress.com, you can find us. I post as Desiato.
Good name. Read Rant.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm having the same identity everywhere.
Well, see, but that makes it easy. And I have 2 distinct places. Like, I've got my card player friends and I've got my comic friends. And even though they cross over.
Split personality.
See, but if I'm using 2 different personalities, then it's okay.
Well,
probably change your avatar every 2 weeks, too.
Well, you know.
3 weeks.
You don't start bad-mouthing the other person. That other guy's a dick.
You're real gone. Don't start on Rat.
All I can think of now is Bruce Banner and the Hulk. But all right,
I do what I can.
All right, all right. Get ahead, Raph, please. All right.
Well, I wouldn't know. I do have a triathlon blog, but
go ahead.
Blogger decided that it was spam, and I've been fighting with him for a week. But it's tryconfessions.blogspot.com.
Okay, cool. Hopefully, it'll be back up once this is all done.
Or my regular blog where I talk about like politics and stuff. It's caburdett.blogspot.com.
And we'll leave the light on for you.
I'm not letting the Oriental in the show. What I am going to do is my final word.
Uh-oh.
You know, this weekend we've all learned a lot.
Well, no. I was going to say, let him say his address now.
No, he's done. He's cut off.
Okay. Free website.
No more Oriental.
Okay. Go.
No more Szechuan shrimp. No more wild rice. No.
All right. The final word, Bill.
The final thought. You know, we all come together here once a year in friendship, fellowship, and whatever the other F was that Lem said last year. I don't remember what it was. Drawing a blank. No. But
friendiferry.
You know, whatever it was, Lem and his spirit branched out into the CGS world and those friends. Who in turn spread it out to all of us. And there are just so many offshoots of what that man started. I just want to end the show with, you know, thank you, Lem. I know you're probably in a better place now, and you're watching us all down here, your extended family, and we all remember you fondly.
Tolem.
Whatever he said.
Amen. Amen.
Shlalumi.
Shlomil. Shlomazel. Hasen Pepper Incorporated.
All right. Well, that's it.
All right. Now that's it. And, oh, he drops the mic. He drops the mic. Oh, no.
My parents were fed.
I'm glad to hear it. Oh, please. And to get a real ad copy in this episode, we are yet again sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. The September specials this month to celebrate back to school, a whole bunch of kids' comics are discounted at 50% off. So you'll find books like Futurama, The Simpsons, Sonic X, Tiny Titans, Transformers. You'll get Bone, also 50% off, a whole bunch of kids' books, and definitely Gargoyles. Make sure you get Gargoyles Volume 1 Clan Building for 50% off while it's available for said 50% off price, as that is an awesome, incredible book. I highly recommend it. The Comic Timing Books of the Month this month, Justice Society of America number 21, written by Jeff Johns and Alex Ross, art by Dale Eaglesham. This one is going to be 50% off on sale November 26th, so you get it for a discounted price. Also 50% off, Daredevil and Captain America, Dead on Arrival. That's written by Tito Farsi with pencils by Claudio Villa, or Villa, depending on who you ask. That's 50% off. And last but not least, The Umbrella Academy, Dallas number 1, Gerard Way, Gabriel Ba, 75% off, so 75 cents on Heroes Corner. And the promo code this month is CTROCKS, so you'll get an extra 5% off on your order, your first order at Heroes Corner, if you use the promo code CTROCKS in the month of September. So thank you kindly to Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Best customer service around, heroescorner.com. All right. Come on. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't you touch that mic. Don't you touch that mic. Can you put it down. Get him, Chad. Thank you. Get him, Chad. Take it out of his hand. Thank you. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. Proud member of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com. Send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. And please add me on Twitter at twitter.com/i_m_sci-fi. I'm putting in the Heroes Corner stuff later. Fuck you.
And the code word of this episode is Garbanzo Beats.
Cut it. And as always, there's always time for comics.
Swear to me there will be time.
Bye-bye. Yeah. There's always time for comics. Better.
What has happened is actually Brainiac has had
door prize announcement.
And now we pause for a moment.
You're gonna come up and pick out of a bag. Sorry, Ian.
Don't worry about it.
And some potential things that you'll be able to win are some of the biggies in there are like the full Starman trade run.
Ooh.
And there's a really nice Ad House books pack and a top shelf books pack. Wonder Woman prints from Marthaeus Wade. Howard Chaykin page. Trades, manga, toys. Witchblade volume 1-3. So basically it's all in a bag. When we call your numbers, you're going to be able to choose out of the bag yourself. So here we go.
The excitement builds.
315.
That's number 315.
315.
Is it 315? That could have been Raph's ticket.
Go back in the bag, try again here. The last three numbers, 315. All right, how about 239?
We now return to our Jamal Igel interview, already in progress.
So, what question did you
have? Okay, well, I'm going to ask it again.
Watch, it'll be funny.
I think this kid will lose. There's no fear involved.
Oh. He scares people.
That's better.
Yeah.
There might not be fear, but
I think my life is complete. David Peterson called me scary. I can die now.
All right.
Bye, Bushy Tails!
In fact, someone does buy Bushy Tails.
All right.